Take it away.
America. America, America, America. You're tuned in to the hottest station in the nation, the Six Eyes Radio Network. Who am I? Six Eyes. S-I-X-E-Y-E-S. America, we're going to have a great show tonight. The phone lines are open at 424-243-9617 for this February 3rd, 2023. Hope everybody had an awesome Saturday and having a better, awesome night.
Yes, yes, yes.
So let's start with our mental, see how everyone is doing.
Well, my mental is, I'd say about a 9. I'd say it's a 9. I'm good.
Okay. Well, we're on a different system here. So mine is 2 thumbs up for myself and 2 paws up for my cat. So that's mine.
All right.
You know, but
all right.
A 9, that's cool. All right, Trumpet, how you doing, brother? Yep. So like I said, hope everybody had a good day. Tonight we're going to be discussing racism. We're going to be discussing racism. The title of the show is Ebony and Ivory. Okay, so we're going to be discussing that and racism in every area from you growing up to your adulthood. Take care of that.
Wow, it wasn't even lit up on the board. That's crazy.
Okay, so check it out. No one plays music. So whoever the ghost is in Blog Talk, don't play any music.
Man.
Amen. Don't play any music. How fucking rude is it when I'm talking and somebody starts playing goddamn music?
Okay, calm down. But, yeah, I was just looking at the song, and I knew what song it was, but it wasn't even lit up. So where did that come from? Anyway,
here's the
we want to continue with the show?
If I'm speaking, so this is what we're going to talk about. So from the youngest to now,
mm-hmm.
have you experienced racism? That's the question for tonight. We're going to have a discussion. So if you're on the phone lines, press the 1 if you want your mic open. The number is 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617. Once again, I want to say hello to everybody listening on social media, computer.
Mm-hmm.
Those on the phone lines, press the 1, like I say, if you want your mic to be open and join the discussion. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about the month of February. What does the month of February mean to you? And why were we, in my words, I say pacified with a history of ethnicity? Why? So that's the question that we're going to discuss tonight.
All right.
Once again, don't anyone play any music. Don't nobody press the board unless you're opening up mics. Speaking very clearly. Don't ever do that again. That's the last time I'm going to say it.
Well, I have no clue where that came from, and that's like the second time I've heard it on the show like that. So.
Okay, all right. Well, let me ask you this. Who do you see on the board?
Is well, I see 773. Well, ATL just got in, so he didn't do it. I mean, he came in after that happened. So
okay.
I'm not sure, but anyway, 773. Okay. Your mic
That's
is
me.
Open.
Thank you.
I'm Mary.
But it wasn't, surely was not me because I'm still in the hospital, so I didn't do it. But
hello,
hi.
Little lady.
Well, you don't have access to the board, so.
No, I surely don't. No, I surely don't. But it scared me. I was just like, oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought it rude that I'm talking, and then, like, the music comes on. You know how you be on the Oscars, and your speech is too long, and they play you off with the music?
Mm-hmm.
That's how that moment felt right there. But I just started talking.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on.
It really was loud.
Yeah.
We did, you know, I'm like, old woman with cardiac problems, don't scare me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how are you doing?
Well,
I'm doing much better. I think maybe I'll go home maybe Tuesday.
Okay.
Well, what we want to do right now, we want to stop the show. Dear Lord, we want you to come to Mary's hospital bed. We want you to put angels on her, touch her. We want you to heal her from the crown of her feet to the top of her head. Any and everything, take it away. You are a healer. You can fix it. We ask for a miraculous healing. We ask for her to get back to her husband, Cornbread, who is flying around aimlessly looking for her. She needs to be back home with her husband. This we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We count it done. We count Mary healed. Amen.
Amen. With one correction, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, not from the crown of her feet. Yeah, you said
okay,
the crown of her feet.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the correction.
But thank you. God's been healing me. I've been here.
Yeah.
Well, Sunday will be 12 days, and I've lost 72 pounds of fluid.
Oh, my God.
I was on fluid overload. I couldn't even lift my legs to get them on the bed. So
yes.
It's a miracle. It surely is.
Yeah, leave your number in my inbox. So I can call and check on you.
Okie dokie, I can do that. Yeah, I'm glad you sound better because Miss Sheila had told me that you weren't feeling well last weekend, I think.
No, ma'am. It was actually like my voice, my throat had been ran through a blender. It's like it was shredded.
Oh, wow.
I got to make up a show. I got to make up a show for my mom that I was going to do for her, but I didn't want to not do it, but I got to do that show again because, like I said, my voice was in so much pain, and it was just like she said, son, get off air. And I cut the show short because it hurt that much to talk.
Wow.
So I got to make Mama Kassai show up. Yeah, I got to make that show up.
For sure, because that was like, well, you know, I commented on your Facebook. I was just like, when you said the show, no, I was like, ooh, this is the highlight of my week. But
I tried to do that show, but like I said, my it's like every word I said just like, no, be quiet, go to sleep.
Yeah.
Drink some tea.
Yeah.
And
that's good, though.
That's
it's better because that's the only the only reason I came. I, you know how I am. I'm always going to be defiant, but I came and no complaints. So it's just God's truly good.
Amen. Amen.
And I was happy I got to hear Miss Nikhil for a second on her birthday party because then the nurse came in. So I was like, oh, my, here we go again. So... But I'm glad she had a birthday party, and it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you very much for reaching out. That was special.
Yeah.
So, but it was just, they've been so good to me. Like, I got a drain in my they drained my lungs, and oh, my God, it's like I can actually, my lungs are actually opening and closing.
Amen.
Like, miracle. for me, because for probably the last 5 months, I haven't been able to breathe right. So, this is
well, that's definitely, yeah, that's definitely a blessing. Like I say, God is a healer, and that's definitely
really
a blessing. I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you're okay, because I was just like, oh, no, we can't be having this. I end up looking to see if you come on the line and it'll be Ted or something. I was like, oh, no. So I'm just like, I'm so glad you're back on this. Is this what got changed times to be earlier?
Well, the thing about it, it's going to get earlier. It's going to be either 9 o'clock or 9:30. So that I have to figure out. Because clearly it's too late for Lewis. I don't know where he's at. And what's going to end up happening while I'm talking to you, at some point.
I'm on the board. I'm here.
Okay. All right, let me ask you. Let me ask
you. I got to stop that.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to change the time to 9 o'clock on Saturday?
So what I wanted, okay, so here's the thing, Lewis. You have to work, okay? You have to work. We know this.
That makes sense.
But
it does make it a lot easier.
So 9:30, and then by 11 o'clock, you'd be ready to head out for work, and you ain't got to turn into ATL and then the bouncer. You know.
Oh, I'm at that. No, I'm at that at 9 o'clock. I have to go to work at 5. No, I'm at this location at 5. That's what happens. And 11 o'clock. This is when these folks start. 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. This is when these folks start acting crazy. They break in their car. They start acting crazy around 9 and 10 o'clock. Around that time, now 11 to 10 o'clock. So yeah, 9 o'clock makes it a lot easier for me to set for y'all. It'd be a lot easier for me because I was home because I didn't have to be. But now since I had to take this because my job cut all my hours, you know, I have to do something. So, you know, that's the,
okay.
Just the conversation.
All right. So we'll eat chicken and talk about that.
Yeah, we do.
So tonight.
I got you. We can do 9:30.
Okay. So 9:30 is the new time. So next week, America, the Six Eyes Radio Network, kicking in with Six Eyes and the crew, will be at 9:30. Mary, that's 9:30. You'll definitely get a post reflecting that. You'll get a text message from me reflecting the new change for the station. So tonight we're going to discuss, in the midst of it being February 3rd, 2024, the title of the show is Ebony and Ivory, okay? And we're going to discuss racism. I'm going to ask each one of you, what is racism to you? Have you ever experienced racism? How did you and what did you do to overcome? Period. And how do you deal with everyday existence of living in society of 1 billion-plus people? So that's the question for tonight, and we're going to start with the queens, let them go, and then the king will go. We'll go after that, ATL, you and I, because it's just you and I right now, and Mary, and Queen Nye so far. Anybody else that want to speak? If you're on the phone, lines, press the 1.
All right. We definitely have other callers. If you'd like to speak, just press the 1, if he stated. And Mary, would you like to go first?
Well, see, I don't really know if I have a good answer because
listen, Mary, this is a non-judgmental station. There is no right or wrong answer. You speak your truth. You speak how you feel. There's no judgment here. Just speak.
Well, I mean, just things. I mean, you know, I was raised in a whole different kind of location, situation, kind of thing. You know, kind of from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't think I've experienced racism, just a little bit of bullcrap on the chat line, but for the opposite reason, because, like, I get blamed for everything when people want to fight with you. I get blamed for everything that white people ever did to black people, even though I wasn't even thought of anywhere in the world when it happened, because I don't think it's right at all. But, you know, like, all I can do is control who I am and make sure that I treat everyone with, you know, the same kind of respect and love they're supposed to get. And, you know, I can't make up for what a bunch of ignorant white people did hundreds of years ago. So, you know, I don't think I've really experienced. But,
well, may I speak?
You may. Who's this? Welcome to the show.
This is Queen I. You experienced it from the other side, as you stated, and you wasn't a part of it, but you may have been around people who said racist things or did racist things to those, you know, who were not Caucasians. And so I understand your views, and, you know, like I said, I appreciate you stating, you know, you can only control, you know, your actions, and that's with all of us. I can say I've experienced racism, even as a child, and I think I explained that on another station, but what had happened was we had moved to a small town. It was a redneck town. Unfortunately, the apartment complex we moved to, I only saw one other black family, and everybody else was white that I saw. I was in kindergarten, starting school. I caught the bus to school. And one particular day, this mean little white boy sat beside me, and he was across the aisle. He reached across and cut me with a knife on my knuckle, on my right hand. Still have a scar today. Don't know why he did it other than hatred. Same family. I had a German Shepherd, and she had had puppies. He and his brothers took our puppies and cut the heads, the tails, the legs off, and threw them down in the creek. Just horrible. You know, I was five going on six. My brother was two, three. That was a horrible thing for a child to see at that age, you know? I'm assuming it was the same family. It may not have been them, but they were some mean little boys. They threw a brick through our back window. They tried to set our apartment on fire. You know, it was just different things. But I remember when the school system didn't do anything about the boy cutting me. But my mother's ex-husband did, and he addressed it. Whatever he said to them and the family, there was no more issues after that. But, you know, just to go through that early on was crazy. I had another situation when I was working at an engineering firm in Georgia, and this was like my first week there, and the way the building was designed, you know, each room had so many designers in the room. Well, I was in a room with two other guys, older white gentlemen from Georgia and this little young punk from Florida. And this particular day, they got on the subject of talking about slavery and how, you know, well, our people treated y'all, you know, black, better than we treated our animals. You know, we fed y'all, made sure y'all had a roof over your head. I mean, just saying nasty stuff. So I'm sitting there, and, you know, I said, okay, I see where this is going. So I just kept working. And right after, I guess, they got finished discussing this and talking about the animals and the blacks and all this kind of stuff. So the older white gentleman said, you know, trying to, you know, mess with me. He said, well, we're talking about your people. You don't have anything to say? So at that point, I turned around and looked at him and smiled, and I said, my great-grandfather was white. For all I know, you might be my cousin, and just smiled at him. But the other people in the other rooms were hearing it, so they was really getting angry. And I guess the way I handled it, you know, it kind of calmed people down. It was like, yeah, in your face. So I then wrapped it up, and I said, furthermore, I said, I got Cherokee Indian and Blackfoot Indian in my bloodline. I said, I have more right to be here in America than you. So when I said that, that settled everything. But there was a guy, a Puerto Rican guy from New York, who was about to set that place on fire. So Bruce finally calmed down, but he said, yeah, he gonna make me cut him up. But yeah, I think I handled it, you know, so that it didn't go any further than that. The guy turned red as a beet in the face. He didn't have nothing else to say. You know, he had to catch his false teeth that was about to fall out of his mouth. But, you know, I'm not going there with somebody. You know, you have no more right to be here than anybody else. I was born in America. You know, I hate to hear people say, well, you know, you blacks need to go back over to Africa. I wasn't born in Africa. I was born in America. So what are you talking about? You know, and you hear all this crazy stuff. And, you know, I hate to say it, but ignorant. Ignorance. It's fear. It's so many other things that I can say. You know, but I truly hate hearing or having to even fill out paperwork where you have to tell what your race is. We're American. If you're born in America, you're an American. It's the melting pot. Everybody's pretty much mixed with something. So, you know, if you cut someone, we all bleed the same. With that, I'm complete. I did open the mic for 415. Welcome to the show.
Blessed evening, everyone. Sorry about that. I was on self-mute. I'm just here. Just wanted to make sure I stopped by tonight. Although I can't stay for the full discussion, I want to be sure I stopped and contributed what I could. For me, I would say I haven't directly experienced racism like in a direct manner. However, I could say in one hand, when I were in my I might have been in my early 20s, I would say I was walking down the street one time, going to the grocery store, just a typical day, not a big deal of anything, and some folks drove by, Caucasian, and decided to call out the expletive and just passing by. And I was so shocked to hear it because that was the first time I had actually heard it. But, of course, you know, there wasn't anything that happened afterwards, and I took my confused self on to the grocery store and was disappointed to hear it, but not surprised. I suppose it was just a matter of when I was going to hear it. And we all, we that were together, we just kind of took it as that. I hope, though, tonight, I don't know if implicit bias will be discussed. I hope that it will, because I've had more, say, experience with it than I've had with, say, the direct face of racism. Covertly, of course, absolutely, I've dealt with it. And thank you for listening.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. And we have some music playing coming from somewhere.
That's ambient background music. I'm doing that.
All right. But I thought you passed for no music, but then you're playing background music.
That's me.
Yes. Okay.
No, nobody plays any music because I'm playing the music. That was said.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All right, anyone else? Any king, the kings, any of the kings want to speak?
Anybody else?
Cover all the women?
Yes.
Okay, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and... All right, racism, yes, I have experienced it. I'm more dark-skinned, always going to get more darker than most. Of course, I'm going to experience it. I'm more of a black young male, young ages. I grew very fast and pretty tall. So I was raised in Manhattan, so I've seen two different types of it. I've seen all types. Also believe and also know for a fact that the system is a racism. And I call it today, and I say it's in effect right now as we speak in this society. Always here, and it's something that we participate in it all the time in our lives, and a lot of people are in denial of it that it exists. I always gonna have to put the things in right perspective. A young person that comes into this world of color will have more challenges because of the fact that his life is more or less disparity because of all the stereotypes that have been put out for so many years on all of people of color that people believed in this. So you get already these eyes, you already get this pressure that's put on you, which is very unbelievable, that puts, so when racism and bigotry show up, you already know what you're dealing with, and a lot of times, you know it's gonna bring you into a hurt place. I want to say that first. Now, when we talk about bigots and we talk about hurt, it's a very viable thing in this time, and it's always been. And I heard the first person, what's his name, said it, and she never experienced it. But I'm gonna tell you something: to experience it is one of the hardest things. Just for what Nikhail was telling you, those things are not easy to deal with as far as anyone. Even though a child has to go through that, anyone is hard to deal with that. When someone tells you you're not equal to an animal, you're not worthy to be a person, you hear them put you into a situation that makes you feel uncomfortable even being a human being. And that's where this racism and bigotry all tables to person. It makes a person feel less than anything and have feelings which should not have feelings, to feel in a hurt place. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go into my details as far as what I experienced, because I know y'all waiting for them. When I was probably like 7 years old, I had a teacher who said I stole a jacket. And I stole the jacket out of her own mouth, she said, because I was black.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. Because I was black, and that's what black people do. That's what she said in her own statement. It was even recorded into that field. I didn't even take the jacket. And to find out, the person that took the jacket was another child, which was a Caucasian child who took the jacket. And she, to that day, she never apologized to me. She still holds on to her hope that black people are wrong. To me, I don't know if she probably has changed, but to her and her spirit, black people are guilty, and they don't want, I still stole that jacket in her mind. Let's say that. That's what she believed, which I never did touch it, never had no didn't even know what it was when she said it was a jacket missing, because I didn't understand that. All I knew, I had my jacket. And That's all I know. I'm a child. Mm-hmm. I really don't know from that. So from there, when I got a little bit older, oh, am I taking too much time now?
No, you're fine, brother. You're fine. You're fine.
Okay. Okay. So to get a little bit older, when I got into experience it again, I've been experiencing it all the time, but it's something that I had to learn to as a human being, as a young man, being a black child, and being a male, I had to learn how to deal with it. So I dealt with it like anything else. I had to play smart. I had to be careful what I say because I didn't want to put myself in any harm or put anyone else in no harm when I say things. So I listened to things. Also, in Mannheim, Germany, when I was about, I think I was 8, I had a young boy that came from Russia. He had never seen a black person before. He took a napkin and tried to wipe me off, said he think he can get the black and some white be wiped off my body. And he said in a Russian, somebody had to tell him that no, he is black. She had just never seen a black person before. He never came in contact with him. So, you know, for me, that was kind of hurtful because I was like, oh, you know, why are you trying to wipe? And the way the statement was made is that he thought that I was a curse or something that bad had happened to me for me to become black. So I'm always also had that lingo. So that's another part. But go on. Let me go on down the road because I want to get to where I'm really old enough to understand racism. I've seen it at the level where, ooh, and I hear it from, and system is racism because I want to call it system is racism because it's not all the time be towards only whites. It can be everyone can have system as racism. That's in this European system because that is one of the biggest things that exists in this era. A person look at a person and make a judgment on a person because of what he looks like. Doesn't judge him by the character, which was Martin Luther King told us to, because I'm talking pre-after Martin Luther King. We still judge on color what we think and what we believe because we see media and what we've been advertising, what we've been promoting in our minds. So whatever we've been advertising, promotion, it's not, and I'm going to say this to Caucasians, it's not your fault. You have to fight this every time because you're in a system that controls system as racism, that makes racism what it is and make bigotry what it is. It's not that you're racist. It's stuff that puts around that make you believe that you're, that makes you say things. And even though you think you're not racist, you'll be sounding like you're a racist. When you start tokenizing black people, say, oh, I got black friends. Or when you start saying, I got this, and I know plenty of people, and you know some of the things you're saying hurts people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So our system has built that into what we call tokenism and also system is racism. And it can go now, even go forward towards even African-Americans towards each other. We will believe because what we hear and what we believe, we'll start to use that same bottom of that system as racism towards each other, where we'll say, oh, well, that black guy on the corner there, he doing something bad. We don't even know what he's doing. We don't know no more than what the next white guy doing. We don't know no more what the Spanish guy is doing. But we have been built into our society to think of the worst of everyone. And that system as racism is one of the biggest things in our culture today, which causes so much of this. So now getting to this to Nelly Buckles, I want to go where I was at. Y'all remember Katrina, right? I remember 4 months before Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big argument at my job. We have a whole bunch of international people. We had white folks. I'm calling everybody Caucasian, white tea, white tea people. We had white tea, blacks, everyone there. And the big discussion was who went through the worstest thing in our society as far as people being bigotry, hurt, stomped on, destroyed by slavery, who was the worst? So one black guy was very offended. He said black folks had been. And everyone was like, no, black folks got it good. I stopped. I listened. I was like, huh? Well, you got it good. The Indians had it bad. The Indians got wiped off the face of the earth. So I sat back. I said, okay, wow. Then they said, no, everybody in the other countries have bad, worse things than blacks in America. So I sat back. I listened. This argument went on for hours and hours, to back and forth. So I said, let me chime in. And I chimed in on something, and I said, I really think I need to chime in on this. I said, yes, I believe the indigenous people, Indians, was wiped off, which was probably a blessing, because they didn't have to go through what African-Americans had to go through in America. First, we lose our culture. We lose our name. We're destroyed as individuals. We're treated like animals. We've been desegregated. We went from being slaves to being three-fifths of a person. I mean, throughout history, I said, and then we don't even know who we married, because we were, when we bought in slavery, they were providing us and sending us everywhere. So we don't even know we marry our relatives or whatever. So I said, and then we got a new name, which is not even to relate back to where we're going. So I'm saying we're the ones who mostly suffered, because we had to go through so much. And then I remember this guy saying, oh, man, that's nothing, Lewis. That's that don't mean nothing. So I said, wow. Interesting. Then he said, no, America does so much for black people, does so much for African Americans. We do so much. We do too much. So I said, okay, interesting. So I made a statement. I said, well, the only thing I can say is that if you're not looking at from the past level and you think that this, I said, they need a boat. And I shouldn't have said this, but I said, they need a boat out there with a whole bunch of black people on it. And I say black people, because I wanted to make sure that this whole bunch of boat with black people on it, and it was sinking. And I want to see what you understand the pain and suffering that has been going on. Katrina happened. That's what I'm saying. When Katrina happened, right, 3 or 4 months, those same folks came back to me because they had to watch that. And then they realized that America had not really ever did much well for black Americans, because they could not understand concept that why wasn't enough help going down there to try to get those folks out of there. And they felt like America was so advanced that you can bring it out. And then other countries were saying we were trying to feed in and they could bring this thing up, because America supposed to be the best place for everything. This was foreigners, it's supposed to be the best place. But how is black folks being left behind like that? Why are we seeing on TV, we're seeing the people that supposed to be spoiled, supposed to be wild, suffering so at a huge level, and the country's not doing much at it? But I just wanted to say that, and that comes back to another consistency when I'm saying of systemism and racism. People have one stereotype that they believe, but in the reality types, when they see, it's a different story and a different logic. And a lot of times you can never judge anyone by the color of their skin. You have to judge them by their character. And one thing we have failed, because our system has allowed us to, is not to judge people by the color of skin, but judging by what myths and tales that we hear. And most of the time, it's gimmick to sexism to keep us just deported, to also keep us divided. But I'm going to go ahead and pass it to anyone else that wants to speak on this. I'm passing it over.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Lewis. Thank you for that. The whole thing about Katrina, they knew that mayor knew that those levees were deteriorating. They knew it. And when they had the money to reconstruct and redesign the levees, they didn't want to spend the money. You see what I'm saying? So
I didn't want to go there, but did you know who the governor was of that state, of Louisiana at that time? Because that's what you had to
Black man. I can't remember his name.
It was Governor Blanco. Governor Blanco is the son and daughter of the son, the great-granddaughter of Jesse Bauer, the Ku Klux Klan member. She sent all her resources, and this is a fact, if y'all do Google this, and then she sent all her resources to Mississippi and not to New Orleans. So, yes, what you're saying is right. So, Reagan, which was the mayor, was begging her, was trying to get a hold of her, and he could never get a hold of her. He tried everything. That's how he ended up calling President Bush, and Bush and them ended up speaking with him. He was talking to the Bush. He could not get a hold of the governor. The governor was ignoring him. So that's the truth. And Governor Blanco was actually a Democrat. So she was a governor. So even though from that, another thing happened right after that was the Genesis 6, the, not the Genesis 6, what was it, the Luce hanging down in Mississippi. She intervened mm-hmm. on that. So, like I say again, I hear this topic all the time about New Orleans, but I wish people would go back and do research, because when it was done, Condoleezza Rice really stepped in to try to get as much done down there, too, with George Bush at the time when that stuff was going on. Because a lot of people keep blaming Brother Nagin, saying he was deflected. It was Governor Blanca's, the governors who ran the state, who was in control of everything, which did not think the needs of that at that time. It was not in the mayor's position. It was really the governor. And the governor felt that at that time, those things were. And when the resources was supposed to given out to give to them, she refused the resources for Louisiana. But she made sure, even though she's not even the governor of Mississippi, she made sure that they got their resources through their governor.
Yeah, and the more sadder part about it is they didn't even know people were important anyway. It was like, oh, well, we'll send a couple of paddle boats, you know, the same boat that Opie Taylor and Pa go fishing in. They didn't even have the decency to actually send, you know, I'm talking about good rescue equipment, you know. It was like stuff that was in the backyard, you know, up against the garage. You understand what I'm saying? So it was never no urgency to get them out of there. And that's why a lot of those people perished, you know. A lot of those people didn't want to leave their belongings, and a lot of them people thought they were going to be rescued. You understand what I'm saying? It was just a sad, unfortunate event. And you ever get a chance, watch when the levees broke. And it'll explain it all to you. The whole construction, it'll explain it to you. You're enjoying the 6 Hours Radio Network. We're having a great discussion here tonight. Racism, Ebony and Ivory. What does it mean to you? Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. If you're on the phone lines right now and you want to speak, please press the 1 and join the conversation. Anybody go out to the phone line, see anybody there? Lewis and Nikhil to Lewis.
My apologies. Nobody else was on mute. Nobody else has joined.
Okay. We want to thank those who are listening, those who are going to listen later on and rewind.
I'm looking myself.
Okay. So that's the question for tonight, racism. Now, racism, the way I view racism is it was a learned behavior in the homes early on. And it's like a recipe that had been handed down from generations to generations. The worst recipe of people burning food. That's how I create racism. And who was going to change the recipe? Because I don't care if it's baked goods, meat. If it keeps getting burnt, it's no good. And the thought process of the learned behavior was no good. But it just went from generation to generation. Oh, we have to stay with our own kind. You know, little Brad couldn't play with Mike because Brad was white and Mike was black. So they couldn't play together. You know, they asked their parents, no, you can't play. No. All they know is their children. They want to play. They had on 2020, this was in 1980, they had, it was called, it's titled Black and White. They had on camera where these little babies played together. They played together. They ate together. They took naps together. They woke back up. They played together. And the only thing that separated them two babies is when those parents came in there and got them. But those kids played and loved each other, you know. And we always talk about taking a page out of a child's book. Well, this is a we can take out of a page today if we go back and watch that episode of 2020, you know. It has to be togetherness. It has to be togetherness amongst ourselves, in our own race, and abroad when we intermingle with society. It has to be togetherness because diversity is what makes this world go around. If everybody thought like me, if everybody thought like you, it'd be such a boring world, you know? And that's how the world should be. But you know, now it's getting a little bit better now.
You know, now when I grew up, my parents, you know, as long as you treat each other good, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All my friends visited. Wasn't a group that couldn't. You know, we grew up, we had fun. And now we fast forward to COVID. Now the gift and curse of COVID. Now the gift of COVID is everybody was on the same playing field. Economically, socially, emotionally, physically, everybody was on the same playing field. We had some lumps in the rug, but it was across the board. It was everybody, you know. And the gift is people came together. Friendships were formed that wouldn't have been, you know, through this thing called COVID. So that's the gift of COVID. Of course, the curse is, you know, the ones we lost, you know, but they still live on because energy never dies. It lives on. So we're still winning because they're still with us. With that, I'm complete. So that's my take on racism. That's my take on racism. It's getting better. It's getting better, but in my opinion, it has to be a continuum. It just can't be, you know, whenever you feel like, you know, just got to work on it. You know, just keep working on self. Keep working on self, and it'll all come full circle. And, you know, racism will, you know, kind of just fade away. And when it does come up, we'll see the similarities that we have versus what we don't. And I'm talking about similarity of good. All right. Now, the second thing I want to go into is history. Okay. So this is February 4th now, 2024. And we were given a month called Black History Month. Okay, Black History Month. Now, you look any other place, there's no Hispanic, there's no white, there's no Jewish, there's no Latino, there's no Asian, there's no Caucasian holiday. So why were we giving Black history? In my opinion, I think it was to pacify it. I think it was their way of righting a wrong of what we've been through going through bondage, you know, being in bondage. But again, they give us the shortest month. Now, I feel it should be history, okay? And when you say, hey, well, who created this? Who invented this? Well, you'll find out, okay, hey, it was invented by a African-American, male or female. You know, that would be more interesting to me because I don't think it should be a Black history. I think it should be History Month, the celebration of our accomplishments. That's what I feel it should be, not just deemed Black history. That's my opinion. Those are my thoughts. With that, I'm complete. What do you all think?
Well, thank you for sharing your insight. I do want to just add to the discussion that it were Carter G. Woodson, well, this is the way it's written, who chose February for reasons of tradition and reform. It is commonly said that Woodson selected February to encompass the birthday of two great Americans who played a prominent role in shaping Black history. That would be Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, whose birthdays are on the 12th and the 14th, respectively. So Lincoln on the 12th, Douglass on the 14th. Now, why we still continue it that way, I'm not certain of why that is, but I know all my life that's what it's been, February. But just to say, mm-hmm. you know, it's they're giving that, they're attributing February to this being the idea of Carter G. Woodson, who actually didn't want the whole month. He was just trying to get what he could, apparently. I remember, I think this is from, maybe last year or year before. But anyways, if I recall right, he were trying to just get just acknowledgement of contributions of Black people in, I guess, the minds of America or whomever wished to listen, wherever they were. And
okay.
The month became something that hit in 1976. and pretty much has continued on. But I want to say in the early, let me get the proper year if you want it, because I don't want to mislead anyone. But Carter G. Woodson, I think it was originally a, let me just get it, because that way I'm saying it right and not just leaving this up to my feeble mind right now. I'm so sorry. Okay. Okay. 1926 was when it really took root. So it was basically expanded in 1976. So that's a little bit more background to why February and who's responsible, at least who's being noted as responsible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Welcome.
All right.
Welcome, 561.
How y'all doing tonight?
All right, how you doing?
Yeah, this job, man. I'm doing good. Sitting back listening.
All right, you wanna
chime in? Well, I'll chime in a minute. I just called in, so I'm trying to get familiar with the topic.
Okay. So tonight's topic is ebony and ivory, racism, and the question is: have you ever experienced racism yourself in life? How did you deal with it? And what do you think racism is?
Okay. I dealt with a lot of racism before. It's discrimination, that's coming from a group of people and things like that. It could be, racism don't even happen to be a white person being racist towards you. It could be a black being racist towards you, Indian, a Mexican or something. So it just don't have to be in terms of white or black. It's with all of the human families on the planet Earth. And, I view, like I said, I heard you speaking on that subject matter when you was giving the analogy of the boy. Black History Month, I believe so much like you do, Six, in Black History Month. I believe that it's a some form of reparations, man, for the injustice that they did to the black family, here in America, far as holding us in slavery, indentured slavery and things like that. So, yeah, I'm just following, man. It's good to be on the show. I'm glad each and every one of y'all doing good. So I'm just listening.
Thank you, man. Always a pleasure. And, your family here at 6 Eyes Radio Network. So you already know that. Always
All
a pleasure
right.
having you.
Yep.
All right.
So that's our discussion tonight. And also, we want to pay homage to Mr. Carl Weathers, who passed away. Apollo Creed, You know him as the lucky man who got to pick up the Wiggler in the sitcom Good Times, when J.J. was commissioned to paint the Wiggler, which was Carl Weathers' wife, played by Betty Bridges, Todd Bridges' mother, who played Willis Jackson on Different Strokes. So he passed away at age 76, so we from the 6 Eyes Radio Network want to send our condolences to his family. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to his family, his friends, and fans at this difficult time. From the 6 Eyes Radio Network, rest in peace, Mr. Carl Weathers.
All right, we have another caller. Amen. We have another caller, 205. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. I just tuned in to hear what you were saying, and I came in on that part. Sorry, I missed a lot of it, but I haven't been long got in, so I'm just sitting back listening, trying to get informed of what's going on.
Is this Godfather?
Okay.
That is Godfather.
Hey, okay.
Good evening.
Well,
now
I'm sure I am sure that you have a lot to that you could share on the topic tonight.
Well, I'm sure y'all heard it. It's been out. Dexter King passed away, Martin Luther King's son. And I'm also informed they're going to have the funeral next Saturday. And
Okay. You
may not know, but I'm sure kids know. Dexter King was named after the church in Montgomery, Dexter Baptist Church. So they didn't name him Dexter Scott King.
Okay.
And I think on the 17th of this month, I think that's when they're going to have Bloody Sunday down in Selma, Alabama, where they were turned back when they was beating them with the clubs and stuff down there. So they're celebrating that. And they're supposed to get that bridge changed, the name changed, because I was informed it was named after time, but they're supposed to get ready to change it, the name of it.
Okay.
So tonight's topic of discussion, we're having a roundtable discussion, is on racism. Have you yourself ever experienced racism? And if you did experience racism, how did you deal with it?
Early on in life,
and have you experienced it in your adulthood? And how did you cope with it? That's the question for tonight.
Well, I didn't experience it too much in my adulthood, but as a child I did, because we was not allowed to drink out of certain fountains. We had our own bathroom when you went to stores. I remember I would go and eat at some place. We had to stand up. And another place we could eat, and they had something like a wall to shut you off from the rest of the people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they did that. And, the greatest thing that that Birmingham was shared, that this dark cloud will forever hang over Birmingham, is when they bombed that church and killed those four little girls in there. They would never get rid of them. That hangs over right now.
Hmm.
And every year at that time, they have a memorial service for them. And then at the time when those girls were killed, they toned the bell.
Hmm.
You ever thought about how we have the freedoms, so-called freedoms that we do, compared to what it was back in the day? How would you feel if you had to drink out your own water fountain, or you couldn't eat at the counter at the restaurant, or sit at the table? If you went to a restaurant, they would have to bring your food out to the back. Thinking about, if you was born in the slavery time and the things that they had to deal with,
Well, in Birmingham, we were not allowed to eat at the lunch counters here.
Mm-hmm.
No, we weren't. We wasn't allowed to do that.
It was like that in North Carolina, too.
If I can chime in for a second, in these southern states, or like in Oklahoma, they got towns called sundown towns, and they still like that today. Believe
mm-hmm.
it or not, you can't. White people don't accept you into certain restaurants or their establishments and things like that. So you can't eat food in their establishments. If you caught it in the area when the sun go down, they still do lynchings. They still do all that stuff that, people don't hear about, and they think that it's done away with it. But it still exists today as it did of old. They call it hidden racism now.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden racism. But I believe that all of us as so-called black people, here in the wilderness of North America is affected by white supremacy and ramifications, in some form or another, whether we want to see it consciously or unconsciously. I believe that it affects us in so many different ways, and that's the part of the discrimination and the prejudice, You know, that's what racism is, from a class of superiority people. So, yeah, it still exists in certain mm-hmm. places, believe it or not.
It does. Go ahead.
We have a place.
Well, no, I was going to agree that yes, it does exist, mm-hmm. and it's perhaps the different term for it is implicit. Or covert, the way that economically even sundown towns is even a thing when you think about it. For economic purposes, people can't live in certain communities in our day and time. If you have the money, you can, per se. But if you don't, you get to work there, but you got to get out of there mm-hmm. because you can't afford to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sister.
But you can work there. Godfather was getting ready to speak, and y'all jumped him. Sorry about that, Godfather.
I didn't listen. Apologies, Godfather. I'm sorry.
Oh, you didn't do nothing wrong. We have a place here in Alabama called Covent, Alabama, and they really don't like blacks. A long time ago, they said they had a sign that said, "Read, nigger, and run." And they don't care for Jews either up there.
Mm.
And there was another place. They had called Arab, Alabama, and this Jewish guy told me that his son went up there to work. He was a doctor, and see, they did not know Jewish names, so they told him, they said, "Come on in, sir. We don't care for no niggers and no Jews," and they didn't know they was talking to a Jewish guy at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Said, "Welcome. We don't have no niggers and no Jews." They'd have known that Jaffe was a Jewish name, is it? But they was not aware. Well, but I tell you one thing: we talk about prejudice. We got some blacks of prejudice. If you're light, you're right, and if you're black, get back. They are.
Wow.
I heard people tell this too. Huh?
Let's talk about that. Now, because they had a movie called School Days with Spike Lee. And what he did, and I thought they were just joking, but in that movie, you know, it was light-skinned, dark-skinned. He actually had the light-skinned group of people at a hotel and the dark people at the hotel, but the light-skinned people had better accommodations than the dark people's lodging.
Mhm.
Yeah.
That would be a form of implicit bias or implicit stereotype. And the definition is the pre-reflective attribution of a particular quality by an individual to a member of the same social group. Implicit stereotypes can be shaped by, like you're saying here, color of skin. It could be other ways also, height, your size, as in your weight. So it takes on many forms, and it's all toxic, if you ask me.
Wow.
I agree.
Well, I remember when I was in school, and it was so funny. Now I think it was funny, but at the time I didn't. We had four schools. We had a school for the black, a school for the white, with a school for the black, for the color deaf and the white deaf. And my idea is that we can't see, so does the rest really mess with us? They had it.
Now, my cousin passed away in, I want to say 2008, but she lived in Douglasville, Georgia. And just down the street from her, you know where it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just down the street from my house, there was a store. So one day she decided to go down to the store, and she walked in the store, and the guy behind the counter said, "What you want, nigga?" She said, She turned around and walked right back out, but she did have her gun in her purse. She caught herself. But she walked right out. She said, "Never again." That was the first time she said she had actually had somebody say that to her. like that, you know. But it's a lot of crazy stuff that happens, and a lot of stuff, you know, people will say on the sly, or some are just blatantly bold these days. And the things that they say, sometimes people's mouths can be very reckless when it comes to that. And then, like I said, you know, they try to be slick with it or subliminal. They don't actually come out and say it, but if you know how to read between the lines, you know exactly what they're saying. And I just wish that – go ahead. I'm sorry.
So here's my question. Okay, so when they have these businesses, these restaurants, you know, you go to the restaurants, you go to the grocery stores, you go get a shirt, pair of pants. Now, they want you to patronize their business and spend the money, so how can our money be good enough, but we're not good enough? Now, somebody explain that to me.
Well, in a situation like that, I mean, if I feel that there is bias there or racism or whatever, I choose not to spend my money with those people. You know, if that's the spirit I'm receiving or coming at me, not necessarily receiving it, I don't do business with them. And if you walk into a store and you feel like all eyes are on you because you're a black man in their store and they're looking at you or judging you, feeling like, well, he can't afford that, then why spend your money there?
Well, I wouldn't be in the store to get what I was getting. My father said, never go into a store you can't afford to buy.
Right.
What's in there. And I've never gone to a store that I couldn't purchase something. You know, so why is it? I mean, because it happens. You know,
it happens. But the thing of it is, sometimes they don't know that you can afford what's in their store. You know, they're looking at the color of your skin. They don't know what's in your wallet, and they're judging you based on that. Why is this man up in my store?
Well, that's true. I remember once they had Oprah Winfrey went to a place, and they showed us up. She said, well, I know you can't really afford this. So she showed us something. Now, she didn't know she was Oprah Winfrey, and she told that. I thought it was so funny. Like you said, you don't know what people got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like,
you know, she's buying a handbag.
You know, she'd be like this guy. I'm sure y'all heard of him. You know, the great one of the great baseball players that was from Birmingham, Willie Mays.
Yes.
He came in to buy something. They wanted to know how he could afford it. You can't afford it. Then when he Fletcher called you Willie Mays, oh, they were shocked.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, really, I heard the story, and I was just shocked. And I remember back here when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record, they sent him letters saying, dear nigger. I mean, this is a slur, but they said that he couldn't break a white man's a record. Well, records are made to be broken.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's what he did. They sent him all kind of threat letters and stuff. And, I mean, it's just sad.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah. Hey, Godfather, this is DJ ATL in the South, man. I'm about to take you here. I think I need to go here because I've been always wanting to talk about this. You come from that time. There was a lot of brothers that was, like, you had Martin Luther King, you had, Louis Farrakhan, and you had Malcolm X, I'm sorry. Malcolm X and Louis Farrakhan, but you had a lot of these, they say it was, so when I saw a documentary on this, these so-called Negroes who tried to stop the progress for any black people getting any progress in a lot of these small towns, Alabama and a lot of them, because they controlled the politics. And they was like gatekeepers back then. Did you ever heard of those things, any of those individuals back in your time, Godfather?
If I did, I'm just too, I probably don't remember. And then by being young, a lot of stuff you just didn't pay attention to, you know, but then as you got old, you go back and look at it. A lot of stuff, it probably happened by me being so young, I didn't pay too much attention to some of that. But now I do remember Malcolm X. I remember Louis Farrakhan. I always thought Louis Farrakhan was a dynamic speaker. God knows I thought he was.
He still is one today. He's very important today. A lot of people give him wrong slack, but he's more now to a point where he brings the city. I think he's got more season to kind of speak to people on a matter. When he talk about bad things and good things, he make people from all races listen to him now. Listen to him. If you listen to him from the past, I do agree with, he talks only from the hatred point, but now he talks from a love spectrum, and he tells people from all different races to love them and respect yourself and uplift yourself. I know a lot of that probably have gone bad in his time. Don't get me wrong. I don't hold people on what they gone for their past, because that past is the past, because everyone has skeletons in our closets, and sometimes we just have to deal with the skeletons, what we get. But I do look at what you put out and what you put out to people. So a lot of the stuff I've listened to the last two or three years on Farrakhan has been very enlightening, because it's kind of like telling people, this is what things is. This is the way it is. This is why it's definitely going to the point where people have to learn how to be responsible and self-centered to yourself. And you have to stop hating each other. And that's one thing he has been talking in his level of mainly stop hating. A lot of people might not think that, but yes, a lot of the times he has been talking about stop hating each other and loving each other and respect each other and stop buying into stuff that's not going to do good for you. Everyone else is buying into what's going to do good for you. And I'll say it, the urban communities are not buying what's good for us. We're actually taking in the trash. We actually believe in the stuff that's not good for us and that's not putting us in enlightenment in the right level. We have a lot of low vibration music that I always talk about, this low vibration music that doesn't do anything to uplift our people, our young people anywhere. And it hurts everybody when you start to listen to it, because it starts to push the myth, the fake of fakeness. So I call it fakeness. Fake stuff. We do is wake up every morning, be gangsters and be thugs and throw up things. That's not life. Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to wake up in the ghetto with gunshots all the time. No, it's no such thing as that. And I don't know where this logic comes from that people like to be at the bottom totem. They're not to be able to do. People don't want handouts. People want to be able to hold their own shoes, strap, and work and do good for themselves and make themselves feel good. They don't want the handouts. And if they get a handout, it's just because they're in a bad situation where they do need the help. That's the thing, the reality. And I think that's one thing I agree with Farrakhan when he says these things. It's true. I don't know where this logic comes from that makes people believe that this is what people should be. Oh, you a thug. You an animal. You're existing. You hate each other. And that's not the way. And then you always have us do all aliving ourselves. And that's not what people are about, unliving people. So I do want to say that, put that out there. But not to keep the topic. I know I wanted to say something on Black History Month, because I do want to say something. I do need to say, how can we have a month that's the shortest day of the month, even though it goes back to to Abraham Lincoln, like old girl said to Bart, how can we have a month and then nobody else, and we talk about only that month for it? Well, basically, history itself in America is catered around Black people. How can that's the most disrespectful thing, I think. I agree with Morgan Freeman. You don't see nobody else has this. And they got history here too. I don't see no one telling them. They go, hey, they celebrate, they learn history about what they did to America, and there's no problem about it. We need to do the same thing. I just think that I think when we look at the fair word of 828, it's like a slap in the face saying we don't even care about learning our history. That's not true. Because we need to be knowing our history so we can move forward as people, including us. Because it's kind of like they belittle us. And I heard what y'all said earlier. I said, oh, man, they probably gave us that because we did so much. No, they did not. They did not give that much because they don't even want to acknowledge that what they all did back to slavery and to what they did to more people, the PL people, our people. They don't even want to acknowledge that they even have nothing to do with that. That's why we're having all these problems with CRT right now. They don't even want to acknowledge that. So, no, for factly, I know for a fact they did not give a – it's just a slap to say, okay, yeah, we give y'all money because we know y'all ain't going to do no reading or do anything on that. And that's not true. We are very powerful people. We're very smart people just like anyone else. And we're no different than anyone else. That's the problem. Because everyone keeps trying to put us in a box on our own or deliver us when we're just the same as everyone else. Everybody in this world is the same. Everyone can learn. Everyone can do better for themselves. But, again, I just say on my end, on what I'm going to say about Black History Month, I really think it's a farce. I think we should not be celebrating that. We should talk about, because we need to talk about history, Black history, and we say Black history or urban history, it needs to be celebrated all through every month. It's not 1 month, because we should be celebrating. And to be honest with you, I don't even think you could cover it in a month because we're influenced in so much history.
No, you can't. You can't cover it. You can't cover it in a month. You can't cover it in a year.
Right.
You can't cover the compliments. I'm going to jump you right now. You can't.
Jump me, bro.
You know, so we don't have enough time in a year to go over all our compliments that we did. There's not enough time. But what we can start doing while we're pointing the finger outward, we got to look at ourselves. What are we doing to ourselves, too? That's what we got to fix up on, too. Because nobody's mad when little Ray Ray and Mike might get shot around the corner. Nobody's mad.
That's one thing I agree with Farrakhan.
We got to have the same outrage when we beating up ourselves.
Yeah, I'm highly upset, you know, because, like I say, we have to stop the black-on-black crime and violence, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking from DJ ATL's standpoint, man, I actually studied the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan for over 30 years as a part of the Food of Islam. So, you know, I know where Farrakhan was speaking from in his younger years, you know, and he wasn't speaking from a place of anger. He was speaking from a place of, you know, anxiousness. To expose the truth, you know, that was going on. You know, he wasn't angry. He wasn't upset. You know, he was just trying to expose the truth. And one of the things about it is this, man, we have to study the matrix of white supremacy. See, we don't know what white supremacy has done all over the world and has oppressed the so-called Negroes or the colored people, or the African Americans, or the black people. These are labels and brands that's been given to us illegitimate of who we are, these titles. So white supremacy controls every area of law, politics, sex, religion, science, formation, speech, thought, logic, everything. It covers all of it. So if this is a prejudice system who claims to be superior to make us an inferior people, then we got a lid placed on us already. So we can't achieve nothing but individual success, and individual success does not amount to anything collectively for our people as a whole. So we got to quit celebrating LeBron James. We got to quit celebrating just the legacies of one person, man, that they struck rich. What is it doing for us collectively as a whole? You know, and that's the agenda, man. We want freedom, justice, and equality for all of the human families on the planet Earth. We don't just want it for one family. We want it for all of the families, white, purple, pink, and black. You know what I mean? So that's the message that Farrakhan teaches to the people.
That's what
you know,
I'm
freedom,
saying. That's
justice, and equality.
I'm sorry to jump you, bro, but you hit it right on the head. And you've been with him 30 years. That's what he's been teaching. And that's why I have a lot of huge respect. He's not saying that's what people got to understand. He's saying all people. And all of us have to. We are in a white supremacy situation here. I don't care whether you white tea person, whatever. You've been put in that system and you're brainwashing. Even I'm brainwashing that. I have a European mind thinking process. That's what I have. That's what we all have in this live right now. We think from a European situation. It tells us, it designs us. It even designs us to hate ourselves, not to respect ourselves. It also designs white folks and white people to think also the same way, even though when they don't even feel like they're doing that. They don't really know that they actually say things that actually, that is systemism, racism. A lot of them don't even know that. And it's hurtful. And a lot of times people say, hey, you know, I'm not racist. You have first time you got a lot of white people always say, well, I got plenty of white friends. They be tokenizing their friends. That's not the way you're supposed to do. When you say something wrong, you can't tokenize people. So you know where I'm going, Godfather. I think you know more about what I'm talking about. And it's the truth. And I think that we as people have to understand that. But what I really want to understand, I try to get other people, we have systemism racism. It is a system of white supremacy racism in society. And it's not going to go away. It's intoned in this century ever before, even before they probably even touched this land, that was a mindset that they have built, these forefathers have built in, is to have that system. That system is to divide and to conquer, to show ass up, regardless of what race you are. See, white PT people, it's made to keep you in check, too. It's made to keep you divided. The control on the top of the end from the spectrum of the people who have the biggest families. And all of them are very like that. They wanted that. To keep you divided and keep you conquered makes it easy for them to control the society and put it in. So like I said, this is racism to be in a bank. You even have, I'm going to tell y'all something. This is what's funny. And I laughed about this. Bank of America says, we don't do systemism and racism, right? But then you sit around and you say, which people should get along? You judge them by the color of the skin. You say, okay, but I'm not racist because we just know that they can't afford it. Then they come back and then they give loans to people who are African and black and what, who can't afford it and put them in debt. And then they come back and say, well, that's why we did it the first. No. See, this is what I'm trying to say. It's all built around this systemism, supremacy, white supremacy, racism. That's what it is. It's system, and it's not made because you're white, T, or you're going to be comfortable. They make you feel like, yeah, you definitely got privilege. Privilege or whatever you call it. Privilege. I call it privilege. I'm sorry, God, but you get your privilege. But then sometimes once you get out of that line, you find out you're not. And then you start to tell other folks, oh, I'm not privileged. I'm just as bad as your situation. And this is one, Godfather, this is one, I bet you heard this one when Martin Luther King was out there. Why you black folks want to be out here in our society? It's hard for us. Now y'all want to be equal to and have and go through the same hardness? I've heard that.
And, you know, like I remember looking at the movie of Mahalia Jackson. You know, she was one of the greatest gospel black singers there was. And she had a car. And, you know, by her being black, she wasn't so there. So she came through and they stopped and said, who car? Oh, she said, this is my madam's car. Will you believe they let her go? Because it wasn't her car. It's supposed to be the white woman's car, you know. But she said, oh, this is my madam's car. You know, they let her go. And, you know, although she had money, they used to come to her concerts, but they did not allow her to live in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm. Could she afford it? Sure she did. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
No worries, Godfather. I thought you had finished your thought, but I'll wait.
I'm through, darling. Go ahead on.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to just make mention that we actually do have other history months for other ethnicities. you know, part of my wanting to be a part of important discussions that like what we're having tonight is to, you know, learn. And if I have something to contribute, to be certain, I do so and do my best to do so factually. We have Jewish American Heritage Month. As a matter of fact, we just concluded that in the month of January. And this is something that's been going on sort of above ground for the past 18 years. It's sort of, you know, it's been a thing, but maybe not like official month on the calendar. But it does have a month on the calendar. And in addition to that, we also have, forgive me, I wanted to look it up so I said so properly. The month of May is dedicated as Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. So for the entire month, like Black History Month, it's in the month of May. So we'll be having that soon. And basically, they during that month, it's basically commemorating and honoring the achievements of Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. So you may see it as the acronym AAPI. And forgive me, I forgot to give you all the acronym for Jewish Jewish history. Jewish American Heritage Month is the acronym JHHM. So you may, maybe you've seen it that way and wasn't quite sure what that was right off top. Another is Hispanic Heritage Month, which is celebrated, oddly though, it covers the span of 2 months. So it's not just Cinco de Mayo, Liberation Day. Oh. It's September 15th through October 15th. So there's a little bit different where it doesn't encompass the entire month. It kind of spans itself a month's time between 2 months. September and October. And I know I'm missing others, but I figured I'd just put that out there. But if anyone has any other idea about another ethnicity, I would want to learn. So I would look it up for you if that means something to you. And but I agree, though. Anybody who contributes here in America, it's just history. We're just talking about history. But we'll look up.
History, but they're heritage. Okay. So they talk about their culture. See, the difference there is they talk about their culture they come from. They still have their culture, their languages, and everything. When it comes to Black history, that's why they say history. It's because Blacks, we don't have anything else but what we don't have, a code. They kind of like in Lonely don't talk about our culture. They don't talk about our culture. And when we're promoting, you notice that when they do Black, they promote it so much where they let everyone know that this is what it is. The difference is, like I said, I had a huge debate with the Spanish community about this, and they agreed. They said, yeah, the bad thing about it, they don't talk about the culture, what y'all go through, the foods, because y'all foods is inherent into America. They don't go, so that's why I said we can't. But then when they thought about it, they said, hold on, y'all history is really tied into white history, because the history that they, if you had to do Caucasian history, it would all be the same. And I was like, right. So I said, again, when it comes to Black people in the history of Black urban people in America, the history of this whole culture is wet to wild Black Americans. I mean African Americans. Well, we can say African Americans. Okay. We'll say Black Americans. We'll say that.
Okay, so what's the month for Caucasian? What's the month for Caucasian?
They don't have
that would just basically be American history. That would be 365 days
in the year. And that's why I say, again, where we say Black, and that's what the Spanish and the Asian Pacific community I talked to said, yeah, that's basically what y'all got, is that it's so many. And they say, wow. And some of those guys are also mixed in with the islands. They mix in with the islanders. They also mix in with the Spanish. So even us at that. And that's why I say Morgan Freeman doesn't like the way, and I agree with him, he doesn't like how they push this, because you don't even have a real aspect of, you're pushing it only to an urban community when you need to be pushing it to all of those communities so they can find. Because most of these urban other communities is out here, the Spanish and the Korean community, I mean the Filipino, Spanish and the Asian Pacific communities, they have people who was mixed who also did things in their community as part of our community. So we can all say, yes, that's a part of American history. See, the whole thing is that I think this is the problem. we're trying to the American situation, because it's white supremacy. That's why I say system is a racism. It tries to only make one superior than other. See, it's systemical when it should be all what has put into America. Our great ancestors, our great slaves, and you got to remember, there was blacks that came over here, who were Africans that came over here, who weren't slaves, who definitely did a lot for this country to get this country to the point where it was, even as far as the far flung. They weren't slaves. All black folks that came to America wasn't slaves. So, again, this is why I say you have to go into this, and we got to be able to do this right. And the right way to do this, it shouldn't be an urban community history. It should be all American history, because it's all
right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Rest your breath for a little bit.
Just for a
drink
second.
Some water. Drink some coffee. We'll be right back. You're enjoying the 6 Eyes Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Six, you got the music.
We're not playing music, brother. We're going to take a commercial break. Two of them. Three of them, as a matter of fact. We'll be right back. Everybody stretch your legs. Jump up and down. Get some coffee. We'll be right back.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it?
No.
Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by 6 Eyes Radio.
This is Chris Jasper of the Isley Brothers, and you're listening to 6 Eyes Radio.
This is Lynn Towner. You're listening to the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
And we're back.
We're back.
Wonderful. So, my brother Lewis, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm right here right now, yeah.
Wonderful.
I wanted to finish up something too with Morgan Freeman, and he asked the Jews, and I'm glad you were saying too, you brought that up. Was that Pride? You brought that up, and I'm glad you did.
No,
he asked the Jewish
not Pride. That's Nicole.
Okay, Nicole. He brought this up to him. He said, "Well, don't you have a Black History Month? Do you have a history? And they have a heritage." And he said, do you want to have a history month just for Jewish, what they're doing? And he was like, no. And I thought that was sad. I forgot who he was interviewed by. It was a Jewish, big-time Jewish journalist. And he was shaking his head, no, we don't want that. So, and he came back, when he came back and said that, Martin Freeman said, see, you don't want it. Why should we have it? And he thought about it.
He said, on the board. It's under Morgan Freeman. If you type in Morgan Freeman, it's on the board.
Yeah, you'll pop it up. I think that interview will pop up. And that guy, he showed you that nobody really wants to have a month. They realize that that's not that. And he even said that.
Why?
He even said that. I'm sorry. Who's speaking?
Why? Someone asking why, I think. Oh. Stop that. Go ahead, Brother Lewis. That was 6 Eyes.
Well, I think why he said that, I think I know why he said that, to be honest with you. But I know why that junker said that, because it's not possible to cover how much history for a Jewish community has participated in America. It's just the same way as Black Americans has participated into the history of America.
So that's why. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I think that it should never be eliminated to a month. Mm-hmm. And definitely, again, they didn't even give us a full month. They gave us 28 days. They didn't even give us a full month. So we got the shortest month.
Right.
Shortest day of the month. So I
well,
think
for the Lewis, would you say that again, please?
I was telling them that's on the board what he's talking about. If you type in Morgan Freeman, it'll pull up.
I already pulled it up. I was just waiting.
Okay.
So, Brother Lewis, when you say we were given
28 days, I just want to, sometimes 29, I just want to come back to what I was saying earlier.
We didn't get 28 days. You're right. But I'm saying that's what, as far as now, we celebrate it as 28 days. We celebrate it as 28 days on the, now, mm-hmm. as what we are now in this time. Not at first.
Right.
We didn't even get that.
Right. But Carter G. Woodson is responsible for the February, not the Caucasian man. Carter G. Woodson,
exactly.
A black man, who back in 1915, the second week of February was what he was asking for. He was trying to just get something going. And it was just the second week of February for the week. And then down the road, 1926, it became a little bit more than that. But by 1976, it became the whole month.
Yes.
But Caucasians didn't give us February. And to you, Godfather, if you would be able to bring more insight to that, that's what I'm reading. Obviously, I wasn't born in 1915. I'm not saying you were either, but I'm just saying you may have more insight, of course. Now, Jewish Americans, I don't know the clip we're about to listen to. I'm definitely interested in hearing it because I wasn't aware. But the Jewish person who was speaking, I heard someone say that he was very influential, very powerful. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't a part of this whole collective of Jewish folks that pushed to have Jewish American Heritage Month.
Like I said, heritage,
okay.
And it's a difference between both of them, and that has been identified
mm-hmm.
several times for me through different people. Because you talk about culture, mm-hmm. you talk about language, you talk about everything. See, then we as black people, we were ripped out of our language. We don't have all our customs. We don't have all of it, and it's basically still a part of America. Remember that one of the big history parts, they threw us the leftovers. We took the leftovers and blew it up, and they had to come back and get our leftovers. They're like, oh, y'all. So that's what I'm trying to give you the understanding of that, and that's what someone from two different types of folks from Asian community, they talked about that. They knew more than I did, and I was sitting there listening to them, and they said that, and I said, yeah, when you talk about heritage, that's a whole ton of different when we talk about the black history experience. We're not talking about culture. You're not talking about the heritage. You're talking only about that's what they look at, and they said, yeah, it doesn't really go depth in. See, you're not talking about, you're only talking about the history. But I'm going to go ahead and I want you to hear that clip. Y'all can go ahead and get that clip on.
I definitely want to hear it. Now, cultural heritage is
okay.
The thing. But I want to hear the clip, though.
Okay, if y'all stop talking, I can play it. I started it before, but y'all kept going. Okay, just one moment.
Black History Month you find ridiculous. Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is Black History Month?
Well,
come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
Is this Black History Month? Why did they give you a month? Isn't it true that they gave you a month to study up on your history? And every day of the year you're reading theirs? How can you be justified in studying your history for 1 month? when time doesn't even show when you began on the planet. How can you be justified in reading white folks' history, which is a moment in time, and leaving your own history unread? And what you study for this week is not really your history. You're just studying the accomplishment of a slave who made it under the oppression of his master while he still wears the name of his master. So he's not yet making any history. This is his accomplishment in the history of white people. You agree?
Yes, sir.
All right.
What is where he come? Who is this?
Brother Ben X. His name Brother Ben X.
Brother Ben X.
And he jamming.
Cole, man. This boy here, Cole. He got a website?
Huh?
He got a website?
What is it? BrotherBenX@gmail.com. He just put out a website. BrotherBenX@gmail.com.
BrotherBenXMusic.com.
Man, I'm finna go. Yeah, I'm a jam next.
What's going on? What's going on, brother? Hey, I just want to introduce you all to the Final Call newspaper, man. Y'all ever had one of these?
Final Call News? No, I never had one of these. What's this? Who you?
Yeah, black-owned newspaper that goes out every week, man, just to keep the community conscious about what's going on in the world, man, and give you knowledge itself, man. Go ahead. Yeah, check that out.
Final Call newspaper.
Oh, you with the Nate? You with Farrakhan? Then y'all killed Malcolm?
No, they didn't kill Malcolm, boy.
Oh, no, sir, man. That's what they want everybody to think, man. But nah, that ain't what happened, man.
Man, how you know?
Cause I was watching Vlad TV the other day. They was just interviewing Malcolm X's daughter. She said that they even tried to apologize to her, and they said they had nothing to do with the Nation of Islam. I mean, come on, bro. You know about COINTELPRO.
Y'all niggas ain't got no bean pies. No, y'all got the bean pies.
Nah, I ain't got no bean pies on me, though. We trying to get some. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get some in maybe this month for you.
All right, well, shit. I'm going to get you a paper, man. I'm going to go and get you a paper. Support Black Beauty. You know what I'm saying? Black Beauty. You know what I'm saying? Mean. I support Black Beauty, you know what I'm saying? I be on that, you know what I'm saying? I be on that Black Power stuff, bro. It's just, you know what I'm saying? I'm really just still learning, you know what I'm, you see what I'm saying? Okay, well, that's a bet then. I'm going to come up there and I'm going to mess with you then. All right, then.
You still, yeah, the $2?
Oh, yeah, your $2. Okay, my bad. Shh. You know what I'm saying? Black Power, you know what I'm saying? Ego Kim folk. All right, now. Y'all still, I said, walaikum salam.
All right. Walaikum salam. All right.
Boy, it's assalamu alaikum.
Boss up with the paper. Black guy, so I'm made for throw it like a ball player. I ain't worried about a hater. Catch up, see you later.
I forgot what reporter that was on the call. He was very... And they were having Harrison around the time of that interview had happened, but they're saying that that's not the same as Black history. That's not there. It's not saying it's Jewish history. So that's the thing that I find very, very interesting. And that's why Morgan Freeman was so adamant about it. And that's why he said, yeah, y'all can have, if y'all see y'all don't want it, why should we have it? And why shouldn't any of us have? Because we, again, and the great statement was put right back down, even what Farrakhan said. They all said it right there. We belittle ourselves for our history is fully history, and then they take us out of our own history when we're still in our own history, the history of America. But then they say they memorize it and make you desubnitize what you're about. But you get the full history when you go through the whole history of America. I just think it's wrong. It's wrong. And it's almost like they're making fun of, and I want to just ask Godfather, to you, does it seem like they make fun of us in a way when they do this? Like how it, even though it was not set up like that, but it seems like they're making fun of us.
I think they have their own sneaky ways of doing things and act like that they're really in favor of it when they're really not.
Right.
Now, that's one black man's opinion, but that's where I feel.
And I feel the same way, and I'm glad you said that, because they really feel like they really don't support it. Because when even with him saying that, he's a powerful journey, and when he said that, no, I would not want one. I really felt that, wait a minute, why wouldn't – so you're saying – so this is a laughable thing for us. And I see why Morgan Freeman, if y'all hear that more, he really – Morgan Freeman went right back at him. Yeah, we don't want it. Because this basically saying that they don't really support what we're – even though we were, and we had our people had to work to get this to 2 weeks, they still don't want it. But I'm just gonna keep it real there. I'm gonna put it back. I'm gonna let you other folks start talking, because y'all, you know, y'all just say, I'm not gonna try to hold up the mic.
Huh.
You're all right.
Well, thank you for your insight.
Yeah, and next time bring that coffee you're drinking for us all. Next week.
Let me if I can chime in one second.
He's a strong coffee. He's like, from that way. He comes from Colombia.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. Rest yourself. Rest yourself. Josh, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah,
good morning.
Good morning to you,
hey,
too.
Hey, Josh.
But, yeah, it's Josh. J-A-H.
Hey, Josh.
Yes.
Brother Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been on with y'all speaking. But what I was going to say is this, speaking to Nicole and the Carter G. Woodson theory, you know, where he established this black history, you know, it wasn't supposed to be for a month, like she said. But at the same time, what was his desires and his wishes around that establishment? You know, that's what I want to get some more insight on. What was his purpose of doing this? You know, what was it? Anybody know what his purpose was?
Let's see. I will go and look it up. But I want to say to our brother Lewis, I think I get where he's coming from with the difference between heritage and culture. I had to go look up the words to kind of focus my mind, because I come here because I want to learn. I want to understand. That's a great point that you have made, Josh. So let me go and see what I can find. In the meantime, in between time, give me just a moment, because I want to do it the best I can, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, I want to say this before I...
Good morning, good morning.
Be complete. How you doing?
Good
morning.
Good
morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm the last.
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I wanted to finish off by saying this before I left. Speaking to what DJ ATL said, culture versus heritage, you know, most of our cultures as so-called black, Negroes, colored, or African Americans here, you know, was stolen from our identity. We're in an identity crisis, you know. So culture is our day-to-day, everyday living that was stolen from our languages, you know, sort of our swag, you know. So some of those things we have to get back. You know, versus these people that you're talking about, you got to remember what white supremacy did. They colonized and enslaved all these people that y'all talking about. Okay,
yeah.
So therefore, those Asian people, those Pacific Island people, they make up the original people, the so-called blacks. You know, the Japanese, the Cubans, the Dominicans, the Republicans. I mean, not the Republicans, but the Cubans, the Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans, and all those different type of people, dark-hued people, melanated people, you know, those are original people. Those people identify with one and the same as us. You know, we the ones that was brought over here through slavery. So our culture and our identity was stolen from us, where they had a chance to experience that culture. And it's really not their true culture, but that was something that they was raised in, and they embraced that. But they original people as well, you know. So,
yes,
you know, we all original people.
Yes, I agree. Evangelist Clayton, I'm certain you. I'm so glad you're here. And I'm going to be quiet, and I'll come back and answer what I believe was the motivation that you're looking for to our brother Ja as to why Carter G. Woodson wanted to push for it. But Evangelist Clayton, by all means, bless you.
Bless you.
I'd love to hear what
you
have to say right now. You can go ahead. I'm just adamant about what I'm hearing, but you can go ahead. Let me hear what you found
because I know we're in dice with what are we're in, because the internet has so much and it takes away so much. But let me hear yours to your finding, and I'm you know, then I'll come back. God bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Bless you. Likewise. All right. So it says here, like Du Bois, Woodson believed that young African Americans in the early 20th century, basically 1900s, were not being taught enough of their own heritage and the achievements of their ancestors. To get his message out, Woodson first turned to his fraternity, the Omega Psi Phi, which created Negro History and Literature Week in 1924. So I believe this goes back to 1919, I guess, then when he was trying to get it going, try to get, like get something, you know, like a collective of good information to just start to just press forward with the achievements of black people. And that started in 1915. And so then, I guess by 1924, I guess we then ended up with Negro History and Literature Week. And that then, I guess, then is the second February, and that went on until 1976, when it then was promoted as the entire month. But it all started in February because Carter G. Woodson wanted to give a nod to Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass, because their born days or birthdays, however you like to affiliate that, were in February. I think the 12th and the 14th, if I remember it right. The 12th for Lincoln, the 14th for Frederick Douglass. So it seems like that's where it, where some of his motivation came from. Now, I found a couple other things about it, but it kind of sums up the same. So I hope that's sufficient for now. But I could definitely find more if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, that's just I appreciate you, Ms. Nicole, but that's just, like I said, that's preliminary, you know, internet, like Ms. Clayton said, information.
Right.
You know, we don't
right.
we really haven't had a chance to hear an interview from him or sit down and talk to him to know what he was really thinking at that time. This is only somebody's probably opinion or what, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is this, you know, he wrote the book The Miseducation of a Negro, right? And he wrote several other books that I've actually had a chance to read and get the chance to look inside his minds on that miseducation. A lot of us was miseducated when y'all was playing the tape of Minister Farrakhan and Brother Ben X. You know, see, inside of the Nation of Islam, we have lessons. You know, a student enrollment form, and then we have 120 lessons, 120 knowledge, 120 wisdom, and 120 understanding. And in the 1 through 36 lessons for Muhammad, it says, my name is W.F. Muhammad. I came to the wilderness of North America by myself. My uncle was brought over here by a slave trader 379 years ago. My uncle does not know that he's my uncle. My uncle does not speak his own language. Why does he love the devil? Because the devil gave him nothing. You know, and then it asks, why does he still love the devil? Because the devil planted fear in him when he was a little boy. And then it says, why does he fear the devil now that he's a grown man? So when Minister Louis Farrakhan was calling, or Elijah Muhammad was calling white people devil, see, what he was doing was he was casting out a spirit within themselves. He didn't say, hey, okay, well, all white people is devil. He said, at this time, this devilish act that y'all are doing to our people, enslaving our people, killing our people, lynching our people, that's a devilish mentality. That's a devil spirit, and I want to cast that out by exposing that. So so all of these things that were stolen from us, and when they asked what was our original language, and the original language was Swahili. The original language was Urdu. The original language was Arabic. Some of these was our original languages that were stolen from us, coming from the motherland of Africa and stuff like that, where the slaves was brought over here in 1555 to the colony of Virginia. You know, so if you had a chance, if any one of us had a chance to watch the movie Roots, and Kuta Kinte, when he got off, you know, they kept on trying to give him a new name and stuff like that, and he couldn't be broken. You know, the only time that he accepted being broken was when he finally had a wife and the children. and it became acceptable because now he became a man and he became a responsible man. He had to take care of his family. So now this was his home because he built a family. So he had to accept that. He knew that it was more important for me to be a man and be here with my family and take care of my family. But in the movie Roots, he was making a prayer in Arabic. This is what he was making. And Fiddler was one of his great-great uncles who was brought over here before that. He had been stripped of his culture, if y'all remember. But he said to Kunta Kinte, he said, "Hey, son, that's a mighty nice tune you humming there. And my great-great-grandmother used to hum a song like that. You must come from a mighty, mighty good line of people to be humming a song like that." But actually what Kunta Kinte was doing, he was making salat. He was saying, "Allah Akbar. Allah is the greatest. God is the greatest." He was making the call to Adon in prayer in that movie. So you know, and that was a part of their culture, in the Islamic culture, you know. So that's my take on that.
That was good. I thought that with them just trying to get a week also, that basically having that opportunity or bringing awareness that that we need to know our heritage. So I was thinking the same thing, that that's what that was set up for. And, you know, we don't have to just celebrate just in February. I think because it's not taught in schools, the true history is not taught in schools. Mm-hmm. And if we can encourage, you know, the youth to study more and push for more studies in schools, that eventually it will happen. They need to know. We all need to know, because even some of us adults don't know all of our history or who made this or who made that. We're lacking that knowledge, too, because we didn't learn it in school. So we have to learn, you know, on our own and research stuff.
Yeah. And just to add on to what you're saying about that, see, a lot of us is unconscious to our history, even in Christian sense, in the biblical sense of things. See, a lot of people are deaf, dumb, and blind because they have not really took the time out to study and read the text. In the text in the Bible, it even talks about Prophet Muhammad in the Islamic tradition. See, in the Bible, it talks about the coming of Prophet Muhammad. See, Jesus is the master of all masters. He's the Messiah. We're waiting on the return of Jesus, even in Islam. See, people don't know how this bears witness to the truth of each other, because Muhammad is mentioned in the Bible, but people don't know where it's mentioned at, because they don't even read the scriptures. They don't even study the scriptures. But they say, "Oh, I'm not Islamic. I'm not this. I'm not that." Well, we only serve but one God.
One God. And you know, I just want to weigh in just a little bit, because I'm you know, I'm an old school, you know, and I just thank God for what I have, the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding that I have, and to a point of month, there's 365 days in a year. 365 days. Every day is a day of history. Every day is a day of history. Black history, American history, the heritage. Every day is history. We learn history every day. Every day, old school history, you know, and so forth. This thing is built around all of God's people, no matter what race, creed, national origin, or age is. We are built around history. Every day is a history. You know, whether you were born in 1929, 1938, you know, and so many were not even born then, you know, and every day is a day of history.
that were learning, you know, and back then, you know, you can mention you had to pass signs even going down the cotton field roads and the tobacco roads, you know, you singing and you humming and, you know, you making melody, you know, to your next commanding or your next coworker, you know, and all of these things. But every day from your birthday to this day right here is history. And history, yeah. And it's what we obtain. It's what we grab hold to, because we're here, Oregon. In general, people argue over the month of celebrating Black history, you know, American history, you know, your culture, your heritage. Every day from your birthday to this day right here, no matter what your age is, it's history. It's history, and yeah. What you do and how you put that into perspective in your walk of life. You know, we the truth. We are true believers. You know, and I thank you for your words of wisdom, Brother Jah, because you said something so profound. See, a lot of us skip over things. We skip over because we don't want to read. That's where a lot of Black people, women, men, we don't read. We skip over, and that's how we get caught up into situations, because you don't dot every I, you don't cross every T, you don't read, you skip, and then they make it so small until you can't see it. So you just say, well, you know, I'm going to just try to go inside. Then sometimes you sign your life away, you sign your privilege away. You do things because you don't take the time to read it. And in his word, he said, in all things, get an understanding. And that's what we don't get. You know, we're going by what and the internet put it out there so you can grab hold to it. Where they know they're going to run to the internet, and so they're going to say just what you wanted to say. And then when they captivate you, just like the trick of the enemy, just like Lucifer, you know, just like Beelzebub, you know, they're going to capture your interest, and it's going to sound good and look good. So it's got to be right because it sounds good and look good. But you got to read. You got to read. Mm-hmm. Get an understanding in your read. Amen. I don't care if you have to go back to elementary. Go back to pre-K. Take me back to pre-K so I can inherit that. I can get that, so I can get an understanding in it. But in all things, we must get an understanding in what we're reading. We run because it sounds good, it looks good. Amen. It's so desiring, and that's how the enemy gets you, through the desires. He comes to entice you, and so he got you. Yeah. And when he got you, he don't worry about it. He sends seven more, amen, and attack to bring and attack on you. We don't read. And I'm grateful you said that. We don't learn, amen. I pride to say we don't learn about the 47 years ago our father brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We don't uphold that. We don't uphold that. So we just take because they said that this the law. But right is right.
If I could chime in with you for a minute. See, I was speaking with somebody on this subject, what you were just saying, which is so true about history. You know, he told me that when he was practicing, you know, and I said, how long you been practicing this? He said, 4 months. I said, so if I say go back and renew your history, what does that mean? You know, so that means start over again. Go to the beginning, you know, to the basics and renew your history and start from there again, over. Because we missed something. But you got to remember, even in the Constitution, we was less than 3/5 human. You know, we was rolled out 3/5 of human. You know, just like in Mississippi was 130 years of abolishing slavery, only in 1996 to ratify that slavery. So when the brother ATL was talking about systematic racism, you know, and what was the other sister's name that's on here? She was talking about the store and being stereotyped. I wanted to speak to that for a minute because even the Asian stereotyped me when I was a little youngster going into the stores and stuff like that back in the days. Mm-hmm. I was being stereotyped mm-hmm. by the Asian community. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the movies, they always stereotype blacks, and you wonder why, you know, mm-hmm. were they looking at us like this. But because of the definition that they were given of us.
That's right.
Through
That's
white
right.
supremacy. See, white
That's
supremacy
right.
rolled us and started calling us these labels and brands that I was talking about, illegitimate mm-hmm. of who mm-hmm. we were. Black is mm-hmm. an adjective used to describe. Black is not a noun. We are not black.
That's
you
right.
see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. the definition of black, if you look up the definition of black, it was evil and wicked. It bears no light. It's dirty. It's filthy. It's dismal.
Right.
It's gloomy.
Right.
It's unlike the pure race, the white race. As pure as snow is what they say. So when they was teaching all these people all over the planet Earth about us, so when we walked in the store, we was already being stereotyped. See, this
already.
Is what white supremacy does. It systematically produces a result. You see what I'm saying? It's we being discriminated against, and we don't even know why. You know, but they teaching this to all of the human family on the planet Earth about us, that we don't do good business. Hey, don't do no business with them. They poor. They don't have no money, man. They bad for business. Look at them. They robbing each other in their own communities. They killing each other in their own communities. Look at these savages. They're savages. And we were so ignorant because ignorance is a heavy money-generating tool. You know, they continue to keep us ignorant, dumbing us down with the Internet, dumbing us down with video games, dumbing us down with TV programs and commercials and programming us. That's what that's called. Dumbing us down in the music industry and things like that. And we grab hold to it fast. You know, when we when you go to talking about education, man, you lose all attention span. Go to talking about something real. People gone. They going to walk away. But go to talking about something foolish, man. We can fill a club up. We can fill a stadium up full of people.
That's
why you ain't got too many people showing up online to church service. You know, they got something else better to do. They don't want to hear nothing good and positive for their life.
Right.
But say you holding a concert and see how many people beep 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 beep. It's gonna the whole room gonna be filled up. But you know, we love ignorance, man. But you got to remember that as slaves, you know, the slaves was forbidden to read and write at that time period too. So they couldn't just freely read. It was a punishment. It was a consequence for trying to read. They had to sneak and hide and teach each other certain things. But they were still striving.
Yes.
They were striving.
That's it. Yes. Frederick Douglass said his master's wife was once teaching him, she kind of picked up his ways and seeing that he were bright. So she started reading to him, teaching him how to read the Bible. And one day her husband came home, you know, his master, and found his wife. And she was saying how smart he was, and, you know, she was teaching him how to read, you know, from the Bible. And he basically forbade her to do this because he said if Frederick Douglass were able to understand himself through the Bible, he would be no more good as a slave. So not only was it just the teaching, even teaching him the word, you shouldn't have that, you know, because, you know, you'll be unprofitable. So like you're saying about ignorance, it's very profitable to have ignorance, have us ignorant, because we'll just be led to, fro, and everywhere because we don't know no better because we're ignorant. You know, Evangelist Clayton said for basically what the, you know, is very important. It's essential to have a good understanding. And isn't it so, Sister, that Evangelist Clayton, that it says, the word says, buy wisdom and sell it not. That's how valuable it is. I agree.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, you know, that many of us may not value it, but it doesn't make it any less valuable. So I do the best I can to learn and then to share. And if I can, speak good information, speak life into those who might be confused about something. So I'm just grateful to be here and be a part of the discussion tonight and, you know, sharing in the hearts that are here tonight and on the way and rewind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really good to hear you, man. It's been a while since I got the chance to build with you. And I'm glad
yes,
to
I've
hear
been
you.
Absent. forgive me. I have been absent. So tonight, I knew I had to be here. And so I said, well, I have, you know, it's just, I will be able to explain all this, but I don't want to take away from the discussion. But basically, even if you don't see me, it don't mean I don't want to be here. And it doesn't mean that I can't catch up in the rewind. So thank God for the Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank God for the rewind. And thank God, you know, to know that you're missed. Bless you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we just hope you've been doing well and stuff like that. The God's been keeping you as well.
Well, you know, different things going on. Let's call them learning opportunities. How about that? We'll call it that. But the grace of God is amazing. So I'm, you know, I'm still here and I'm still grateful. So yes.
Yeah. Amen. But when we're talking about understanding though, understanding is to comprehend. You know, so here's the thing. What Carter G. Woodson said was, you know, in the miseducation to the Negro. See, if I'm being taught the wrong thing, then my comprehension is wrong. One can be wrong in theory and practice and have a bunch of followers in conclusion. So a lot of us has been taught wrong, and then we up under the what you call the monkey see, monkey do syndrome in the black community. See, this is we unlearned and undeveloped people. You know, see, like one of the things that our ancestors used to do back in the day is, you know, we used to wear natural locks and stuff like that. Our hair was natural locks, and it'd be long and everything like that. Well, the slave was taught to hate himself. Malcolm X said, who taught you how to hate yourself, right? Okay, so who taught you that big lips was ugly? Who taught you that nappy and kinky hair was ugly and dark skin was ugly? Who taught you all these things, your nose was ugly? Who taught you all these different things about yourself? So we start wanting to be more like the white race. We want to perm our hair. Now look at the trickle of that. You know, most of our women's hair has been eaten up, falling out, and stuff like that. You know, the self-esteem been lowered through this and everything else. So now they just getting back to embracing short hair. They're getting back to embracing natural hair. But it's become a trend in our society that everybody's wearing dreads now. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So it says our history renews herself every 25,000 years. You know, so what we're doing, everything under the sun is nothing new, what it says in Ecclesiastes. You know, what goes around comes around.
Comes
around.
That's
right. So that's the only thing that is going back. Bell bottoms, you know, tights, all these different things, this culture that we're seeing in our society today is coming back around. You know, and we're starting to embrace this, but some people are doing it unconsciously because it's monkey see, monkey do. It's a fad. Just like when Lil Wayne came out with gangbanging, he did one of the most injustices to the blood to our people in America because he started rapping and he started putting his image out that he was a gang member. He was a blood. So, but he was popular and people wanted to follow Lil Wayne. You know what I'm saying? They looked up to him. And now he got all these little kids and all these people trying to be bloods. They just claiming something. You know, so that was one of the greatest injustices. Lil Wayne, you know, he used his platform for ill. So, so that
Which
was a miseducation of the Negro.
Further mislead the young
Negro.
People. Right. Because, and it's profitable.
Right.
Yeah, it's profitable.
The beautiful thing about it is, we're going to have much, much more of these discussions. And just like this, and I will be having light music playing in the background, so that will be me playing the music. I have exhausted myself with that anniversary song. I hate that song now.
Oh, wow.
What's that?
I do not like that song, Anniversary by Tony.
Oh, it's my anniversary.
So, John, before you got here, Godfather, I was talking, and the minute I started talking, that song popped on, and it was like when you on the Oscars and you take too long speaking and they play you off.
Right.
That's how I felt in that moment. I'm like, okay, this is my show. and I'm getting played off on my own show. Like, don't touch that damn board. So, like I said, when we have these discussions, I will be playing light music in the background. Yeah. So that will be me playing the music. But that Tony, Tony, Tony song won't get played on this station on a Saturday.
Yeah, well,
with that,
y'all having these type of topics and stuff like that. Y'all might get to get me to talking a little more, cause
that's what it's gonna be.
Yeah,
because
what you talking
it's
about?
Not often.
That's right.
It's not often we can all get together and talk like this. You know, so that's the beauty of it right there.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, Dad.
You know, I tell people I take God everywhere I go. I take God everywhere I go. I tell the people, we got religious spooks. I call them religious spooks. They scared to talk about anything other than religion. Hey,
that's
sometimes
right.
It's good. I can bring God anywhere I go, but there's other things that we got to tackle in this world and help. You know, so we got different things going on in this world, man, that needs to be addressed. You know, and with our godly leadership, we can be the solvents to the problem. You know, if we recognize a problem. But, you know, man, a lot of people, that's all they want to talk about. If you ain't talking about religion, they religious spooks, they don't want to hear nothing outside of that.
You know what? Mm-hmm. And speaking of religious spooks, since we got some men in the men and women women of the cloth, because there's no other. So. With this whole T.D. Jakes situation, I'm going around the table. We start with the Queens first. But I'm serious. I mean, yeah, be as honest as, you know, what's your take on the situation? What's your thoughts?
Well, forgive my ignorance. I'm not certain of what has happened concerning T.D. Jakes.
Need to do is go and research, use that Google. And research and type in T.D. Jakes. I've been sitting here listening. I love the 6-5's radio network, and I've just been sitting here listening. If anybody was going to say hello to Brother Jakes. Hello, Mr. Jakes. How are you? 6-5 is always a pleasure. Me and Cherie says hello. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, while I go get myself a clue here, Evangelist Clayton, or to our sister, Queen, y'all help me out. Bless y'all.
Amen. This is Evangelist Clayton Peppers Clayton. I just want to say, on behalf of T.D. Jakes, the T.D. Jakes, the more than, and speaking on technology of men and women, the T.D. Jakes, you know, and 2024 is a year of exposure, and His words lets us know that God is uncovering some things, amen, that's not blowing our mind, because it's already had been prophesied and already had been told. Back again to not reading and not getting an understanding, you know, because He lets us know all those that say, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. And it's just so much, the internet got so much going on, news got so much going on, social media, Facebook, Twitters, all the other, I can't even name them. They got so much going on. They got their assumption, you know, to what is going on. But I say this. The word of God says every eye shall see, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue must confess that He's Lord of Lords. You know, so if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, behind silver and gold and houses and cars and bank accounts and significant others and in the book of Leviticus, man land with man and woman land with woman is an abomination. So I just say this. Let the chips fall where they may, because they are falling, and God is uncovering. God is uncovering those secret things that we think nobody knows about. Nobody knows about. But his word is true. God's word is true, no matter how we shape it up. Amen. To look like something that is not. He said, every eye shall see and every knee shall bow. But we too, we get caught up in we just got to have a king, whether right or whether wrong. We just got to have a king, you know, a ruler to rule over. But God is exposing. And this 2024, you haven't seen nothing yet. There's many more T.D. Jakes, J-A-K-E-S. You know, more than one that God is exposing. Even those that are close to you, God is exposing. So I just say, God is a winner all the time. All the time.
Amen.
And Satan always on the rampage. Where are you going, Satan? The question was like, I'm going up and down the earth, seeing whom I may devour. So there are so many that Satan is attacking. So many that he's leading you out, deception, deceiving spirits. And so Satan is on his job. Satan is on his job, and hell is widening itself. And what are we doing? We're sitting back pointing fingers, passing judgment. But every eye shall see and every knee shall bow. And every tongue, I don't care who you are, where you at, what you got going on, what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, what kind of bank account you got, you gain the whole world and you lose your soul. What has it profited you? Absolutely nothing has it profited you. Amen to God. Because you remember.
Amen.
God turned over the tables in the church because they were yelling and doing those things. So God is exposing everything in the music industry, not only the T.D. Jakes, but in the music industry. God is exposing, amen, right in your backyard, your side, your front. God is exposing, and he's uncovering all that we done held on to for years. And went along with it because we said nothing, because it sounded good and we just pass it on to the next one. Pass it on. They caught leech, like a crab, caught hold and just kept it moving instead of doing something about it. And it was a curse. Now the exposure has hit the ceiling. Not all mankind, woman and man, God is exposing. And he's pulling the wool off of those in sheep and wolves and clothes. God is doing it, just like he said that he would. So we may as well, people, we may as well get ready, because you ain't seen nothing yet. There's more to come. There's more to come. Exposure is on the rise. I'm completed.
Amen. Amen. That's why Romans 12 and 2, that God wanted us not to be conformed of this world.
That's it.
He wanted us to be transformed so that we won't find ourselves intertwined, caught up, tangled up, twisted up in him keeping his promises. And what is it in Proverbs, amen? Oh, Lord. Proverbs, I know it's in Proverbs, where it says all of God's promises prove true.
That's it.
So, yes. Well, I did take a peek, and I see here the what's come forward. So
do you see the mess that they got?
Well, if you're caught up in that mess, first and foremost, repent today. But the consequences go with you.
Go right ahead. I'm not perfect. Go right ahead.
No man
I can't
is.
Party. I can't dance.
And we hope that you weren't hurting children. How about that?
What did Peaches and Herb say? Shake your groove thing. Shake your groove thing. Yeah, yeah. Just show them how to do it now. I can't dance.
The devil's a liar.
I can't dance.
I know.
Show the world you can dance.
The kind of dancing I just read about. No.
We're bumping.
Wow.
That's a no to you.
Shake your groove thing. Shake your groove thing. Yeah, yeah.
Well, somebody gonna shake you if it's found that you hurting children. How about that?
Well, look here. I don't hurt children. You know what? Six Eyes, get me a Coke, please. Thank you. Bless you. Man,
Lord
God.
Jesus. Amen.
Wasn't it like last year we were having this discussion? It was somebody else. Like you said, there's more. You said it then too, and here is more about exposure. I can't remember who it was, but it was about someone harming children. A comedian.
We were talking about Aries Spears.
And,
that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Evangelist
said,
she said it then. She said it then.
Hmm?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a pastor. I'm not a comedian. I'm a pastor. The Potter's House.
Wow. Yeah, well,
you
out here misleading the people. You telling all the jokes.
Well,
but all strongholds make people break free.
Hold on, up my coke, please. And you got some chips or some snack. Okay, go right ahead, y'all.
I think it's Queen night time.
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, sister. Other brother want to speak on?
Queen, now you have something to say? She maybe just fell asleep.
She might be. I think our sister Mary might be resting too. She was here with us earlier. Bless
Amen.
Her.
Amen. Well, Brother Jah, that leaves you. What are your thoughts on this situation?
First, you know, like I say, when I was saying religious spooks, I don't want to offend nobody with that. So if I offend anybody,
did you call me a spook?
I apologize. speaking to the incident with the things that's going on with T.D. Jakes in the media. And what has came out, you know, with his relationship being gay and P. Diddy and all these different things like that. I really don't know. You know, I don't want to be judgmental of anybody, you know, and cast judgment, you know, because I know rumors, you know, there's always some rumors out there and some things that could be said that could be untrue. You know, and I want God to be, take the matter to God and let God judge the matter and settle the affair. You know, but anyway, you know, the thing about that is this, you know, T.D. Jakes, you know, I listen to a lot of T.D. Jakes messages and stuff like that. The brother
Thank
got
you.
A lot of good
Thank
words.
Thank you, brother. I'm right
messages.
Here. You don't got to speak to me in third person. I'm right here.
Thank you. Oh, Lord.
You know, you know, I've had the chance to listen to a lot of his messages, and
thank you, man of God.
Know,
thank you.
Very, very powerful teacher.
Yes.
You know,
anointed.
You know, I just hope, you know, all this stuff ain't true about the brother. You know,
of course
I pray that
not.
It ain't true about him.
Not at all.
Yeah, I pray that it's not true about him.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I'm married to Sharice.
Hey. If I could say something to this though, you know, because I was talking to Ms. Clayton and I was talking about these generational curses in the black church, right? And I told her I wanted to speak with her about this, about the preacher's relationship with the congregation. You know, most of our women, our churches is filled with women now, And one of the things that we was having this interesting conversation about is the preacher has become the wife of all of the women in the church. Now, this is what these guys were saying. Like, you know, they follow the authority of the preacher. They look so much up to the preacher as for the preacher's advice to be like the husband in the black church today. You know, and then, you know, and the dudes say, well, the black preacher in the church, he was, you know, he want to keep these women deaf, dumb, and blind as well so he can continue to rule over them, kind of like we were saying. You know, he want them to pay taxes to him and they tithes and all that stuff to him and stuff like that. This is one of the things, how they stay rich, you know, and they build their wealth off our women's ignorance, you know, or our women's lack of having ability and looking for the authority of a man of God, you know, because even when he has a wife, you know, and I kind of looked at that and I say, yeah, well, y'all got some truth in some of the things that y'all saying, because I can see it in certain things when I'm sitting back and I'm looking. I'm like, yeah, most women is looking up to these pastors, and these pastors is having certain relationships with all these different women in the church. And in my area, a lot of this stuff has been exposed. You know, we had a pastor that was one time that was having sex with underage teenage children, and he was infected with HIV, you know, and he was infecting all these people, and those have been the leader in the community. I was talking to a young lady one time, and the pastor, she come back and tell me, I helped her out with some bills and stuff that she had going on, and she had kids and stuff like that, and I'm just talking to her and everything. She asked, told him about me, and he was like, well, you know, God ain't want this. Have you talked to God about it? And God spoke to you about it and won't approve this
so
man to be in your life.
Now
hear this. Watch this. Now hear this out. The man say, well, I that's why you probably ain't been paying your taxes, I mean your tithes, here for the last 2-3 months. You might be giving it to him, you know, is what she's telling me. So I'm sitting there saying, man, really, your pastor told you this? She said, yeah, he went to talking about me paying tithes. I ain't paid my tithes in 2-3 months. So I say, yeah, man, it's a lot of truth in that, man, and how these people is misleading some of these positions that God has put them in.
You are correct. Y'all bring. I had to go get the right chapter, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. I probably could go further, but I'd have to reread it. But the word says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving, and they will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God, as you were saying, Brother Jah, as well. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. It says they are kind. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers, so specifically saying the word, these teachers oppose the truth. As Janice and Jambres oppose Moses, they have depraved minds and counterfeit faith. They won't get away with this for long, as Evangelist Clayton is testifying as well. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Janice and Jambres. That's in the book of 2 Timothy. So to your point, King Jah, it's almost like women are being hustled for a reason, and what puts us in this position is our lack of knowledge, going back to ignorance as well.
Do y'all want to help the pastor get these sweaters? Y'all want to help the pastor get these sweaters?
No.
What I need y'all to do is each give $100 to help the pastor look good. Now, I know it's enough women in here. That please, get your purse out. Get your Cash App out. And in the memo, put sweaters for pastor. Okay? The pastor needs these sweaters.
As the young people say, cat. The young people say cat.
The pastor preaches before y'all each and every Sunday. The pastor must look nice. The pastor wants these sweaters. If Cleflo Dollar can get a jet, I think I can ever get these full sweaters, okay?
See, that's the thing. You know, when you look at these pastors that's on TV.
Come on, brother, help me with the sweater. Go right ahead.
I don't think the brother gonna help you with the sweater. No. None of the brothers here to help you with the sweater.
Yeah, it ain't gonna do him no good in hell. He don't need no sweater.
Amen. Sister Clayton, you're going to clash at me for the sweater. These sweaters right here are not your average sweaters.
All right.
God wants me to have
I want to ask you a question. What has a man profited to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What has he profited? You know, I have not seen a U-Haul follow behind a hearse to bury your silver, your gold, your sweaters, your cars, and your significant other. It ain't gonna work. Mm-hmm. Not on this side.
Man,
not on
I'm
this
still
side.
Living. Are you gonna help?
So
the
now, whatever
the
you
sweaters,
doing, whatever not, you're doing, when he comes, if you on the rooftop, if you in the field, if you doing your own thing. Keep doing it. What is ain't gonna do you no good?
It ain't cold in hell.
In other words, you all don't want the pastor to have the sweaters.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Right.
You are
God,
correct.
God says, be a cheerful giver. It's in the Bible. Be a cheerful giver. And all the pastor wanted these sweaters.
But he also said, don't be a fool.
Satan knows the word. Let me say, Satan knows the word front and back.
Yes,
you know.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Satan knows the word front and back.
I'll be back next week. I know there's somebody on this network that will get the pass of the sweaters. So, amen. Love y'all all. Y'all take care. Gotta go.
But, Nicole, what I was going to say to you was, you know, in when they do that ministry, you know, like television pastors and things like that, and judges on TV and judges in the courtroom and stuff like that. See, they take an oath. They take an oath, right?
Yeah.
And they this is what's been said, that they sell their souls to the devil when they take these oaths. So most of these people is working up under Satan's rule. You see what I'm saying? And we think that you know, they know scripture, they know law, they know all these different things, man. They deceive the people, they use technology, just like Satan, you know, to get what they want. But they actually sold their soul, like Ms. Clayton just said in the scripture. They done became conformed to worldly things. So this is what they want. They chasing after the riches. You know, in the Islamic word, they call it the dunya. The dunya, you know, that's the all of the bad things, the materialistic things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, y'all was pretty rough on the pastor. I just sat back and listened. But y'all didn't give that man a dollar toward those sweaters.
we were focus on getting better things, the things that last.
Well, you take care of it.
Wisdom, amen. Divine wisdom in particular.
Well, I'm going to tell you, he might not be back. He might not be back. Evangelist
okay.
Clayton said no.
Yeah. You already know Evangelist Clayton going to say no.
Well, you know, I've known
Evangelist
Clayton.
She don't co-sign on no foolishness. No, she don't.
Yeah.
That's why I love Evangelist Clayton.
She
you know, Brother John was going to do it.
Word.
You already know. You already know.
Hold on. Getting a text here. Six Eyes, I don't understand why that lady said no to helping me get the sweater. Be back next week. Sure, they will have a change of heart, and I will have those four sweaters. Thanks. Much continued success for the network.
Oh. Wow.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Wow. They will. That's the type of stuff that they do too, right there. That's exactly how
right.
they do it, man. You know, you got them down packed, man. So you are to
know.
These guys.
You, I know. Ooh wee. He turn around and give him a sweater. He'll cut it up and sell it back to us as a prayer cloth.
I've been to a lot of different
prayer
churches,
pack.
And these are actual.
Y'all hear me,
brother?
Mm-hmm. Brother Lewis?
Oh no, Ty.
That brother Lewis?
Yeah.
The pastor wants these sweaters, Lewis. Now, he says he's going to be back next week. We're talking about Pastor Sawyer. You know who he is. Yeah, is somebody building a nation or something? What's going on?
He might be leaving work.
I guess he's building a nation.
Okay, guys. Hey, can we talk about Trump?
Well, like, I guess
did you hear
the
question that was asked of you?
Hey,
did you hear the question?
About
excuse me, DJ ATL, did you hear the question that was asked to you? You jumped
in. I can't
yeah,
hear the question.
I think
I didn't hear the question because the phone's breaking down where I'm at. And I can't hear the question again.
I said, are you building a nation over there?
Man, one more time. Let me see if it's not breaking up.
Okay. The pastor said he wants you to buy four sweaters. That's what he said. He said, if you don't buy the four sweaters, don't come back Saturday without the sweaters. Now, that's what Pastor Sawyer said.
What's the pastor say? Again, it's like breaking up. I'm going to slide down the road more farther. Okay, go ahead and say it again, y'all.
The pastor.
Can y'all even hear me?
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh,
can you hear us any better now?
Your
signal going bad.
He can't hear you.
Y'all hear me?
He can't hear me. That's why he's just hollering.
Yes. We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, it's just distorted. I'm going to wait a minute. Because I can't hear. I hear you, Nikhil, but can't hear you completely like I should.
You can't. You really can't hear because that's not Nikhil.
It's okay.
I just heard you say something.
It's okay.
He's
all right.
I must be in a dead area because I'm basically moving around. So I must be in a dead area. I'm trying to ride a little bit farther down. Tell me when you can y'all hear me clearly. Say yes.
We
see
can.
What
we can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Y'all can't
yes.
hear me either, right?
We can hear you. Yes.
Yes.
Dana, we can
yes.
Hear you.
Yes.
Okay,
we
there y'all
can
go.
Hear you.
Y'all now. I can hear y'all now. So what was the question?
Pastor Sawyer wants these sweaters. So he wants you to get four sweaters by next week.
He wants
four sweaters,
yeah.
blue, black, yellow, and purple.
Mm-hmm. Size medium. Size medium.
And medium.
Medium.
What is, so these four switches, what are they supposed to be made for? What, I mean, what's the purpose?
They say don't question the pastor. The pastor wants these sweaters, and you get them. Don't ask no question. Just get the sweaters.
Get the sweaters.
Don't
okay,
ask.
No questions.
Just
get
the
sweaters.
The money
okay.
for the sweaters.
All right, that's cool.
Oh.
Why for the pastor got to wear nice sweaters? A white hole to the pastor gets the big piece of chicken. Don't ask. Just get for the sweater.
What the heck is going on now? I'm confused. I'm serious. What's going on? Well, man, oh, man, something happened. Where Trump at, man? He need to come on. We need to talk. I got to get Trump on here. We got to have a long talk about this situation that happened here with this kid. Because we got to talk about that. This is it's an embarrassment to the whole. How do you go from, and I say it, Trump, I got to say this, how do you go from not going to court when they wanted to trial you, and then you say, okay, give her whatever, and then you let your lawyers and you don't go testify, and then you come to a defamation because you ran and said, oh, after you gave the money, you said, oh, you start lying. Oh, I didn't rape this woman. Oh, it's not my type. And ran you all on social media over all over time. Everybody, you didn't do none of this. And then you go to a defamation court, and then you bring a witness, and your lawyer said, hey, you know, we got a witness here that you didn't. And they look at the court and everybody's looking at them. What the, Donald Trump, hold on. Hold on, Donald Trump. Do you know that you are actually, you're a defamation? You agreed to this, to give her this amount.
Fake news.
Oh, there you go. No, let's talk, Trump. So, are you innocent? I want you to tell me, are you innocent or are you guilty? You got to have to tell me this now.
Where am I right now?
I hope you're buying sweaters for your friend. Because nobody else is buying
sweaters.
He's going to need some sweaters. Because right now, he's going to be able to afford one at this point. You're about to not have anything in a minute, man, if you at the route you're going. So come on, tell me. Are you innocent or guilty? Do you even know who the lady was, man? Do you even remember her?
See you next week. She said my hair was nice.
Next week? Man, you might not be able to afford a piece of chicken next week, brother.
The world loves me. They were fried
you
chicken.
Gotta talk.
Donald
let's go,
has to
Donald.
Say
let's go.
Fried
we go
chicken for Donald.
Okay, so let me ask you. I'm gonna give you some. I'm gonna help you out. So
fried
when
chicken
this,
for the
wait,
Donald.
This woman on topic happened, you was at a high end
and a loaf of bread in your
store, right? You was down at. You was at the one the most exclusive.
And
you
a
was
bottle
at the
of
most,
ketchup for the Donald with. Fresh bread, white bread.
Dallas,
I don't
Trump,
like wheat bread.
Mr. Trump,
Trump,
you're supposed to be listening.
I'm trying to help you out. Now, Trump, hear me out, man.
Well, quit
you was at one of the most exclusive clothes store
stop
in New York.
Ketchup.
In 1980, right? And 26 years ago. That was 26 years ago, right? This is what this woman said. She said you did what you did there. She said you forced yourself on her. Now, out of this high-end, nice establishment, high-end burgers, you know, as me as a black person, I couldn't afford to even go up in there at that time, man. I didn't have $2 in my even if I did, I didn't have the kind of money you were. You was in a high-end spot. So they got to have cameras. So you telling me, Donald Trump, you said you didn't remember, but don't you know you could at least call them up and say, hey, you know, back in 1980, they had a camera up. And then again, I know it's 26 years ago, but you can say, hey, yeah, you know. I'm trying to help you, brother.
Well, you need to help yourself.
Yeah,
with your math, because
She's not even worth $15 million, and she's showing it only worth $3 million the 65 they put on it. So I'm just trying to help you out, brother. So you got to help me, man. Help me help you. Because this is just one problem you got. You also got the fraud case, which is, I feel sorry for that one, too, because, you know, they said it's in New York, man. You know, you paid the banks back, and the banks got their money back, but they said, no, you fraud. So they saying they're trying to figure out how much more money you got to pay them. You know, you can't even do business in New York no more. So, hey, Trump, am I making this up? You know, you tell the world, man. Tell the world the truth, man. I mean, that's
first
I
am New York. The download is New York. If you shut up, the download is New York. If there's no business with Trump, there's no New York.
I guess they moving on, goddamn it. Because they just going to take it all from you.
What does Trump think about Black history, man?
They're going to get money out of you, man.
What does Trump think about Black history? That's what I want.
Let's go back to the other case, like,
can
quick.
Can you guys
like
hot sauce
and ketchup?
Can you guys?
I think somebody was asking a question. I think somebody was asking.
Thank you, woman of the cloth. Thank you. Always a pleasure. What do I think about Black history? I think
the African what you think about Black history. Right now, you about to become Black history at this point.
I think the African American. Can somebody please shut me
up? You're not even your room right now. You got to worry about that. Right now, I'm trying to help you. Your legal team is throwing you on the bus. How do your legal team, you're paying them all this money, they're going to go to a defamation court. They're going to go to a defamation court, and they're going to try to bring up witnesses and everything. And these judges are going to look at you like you're crazy.
It's Colombian coffee.
You the one that said you were, that you decided to be in the world of Christian. Come on, Trump,
man.
That's why I'm trying to get you to realize that your legal team could not tell you to say you innocent. They couldn't tell you that. And then when they went to the first trial, say, come on, Donald Trump, we got witness. Let's put together a case so we say this didn't happen. But no, your legal team tell you and then try to make you believe on this round that you can go in there and say you innocent. Oh, my God, this has got to be the most out of defamation. And you know why you went there, right? You didn't go to court. You went to defamation because you've been on
so
social media.
So what I think about the African-American.
I've been mad about the woman, and they took you. And your legal team couldn't figure that out. They're going to take you back. Oh, God, guess what? We just won the lottery. We're going to end up proving that you're innocent. And they go in there and say they bring in witnesses and everything. And the poor lady, she looked like a fool from that judge. He said, whoa. He said, y'all are definitely backwards. Y'all in the defamation.
So what I think about the African-American people, I think you all have done great, phenomenal, super jobs with your
Trump, you don't need to be worried about Black people. We got ourselves. We okay. You're the one bad off right now. You trust me. This is not the fate that we want. I mean, they're kind of trying to say this is the kind of stuff that Black folks go through. We get bad reputation. But damn, you got money and you're getting bad reputation. Oh, God, your whole man. Trump, let me help you out. You need to fire your whole. Legal team, brother. I don't think
well,
you're going
to
make
it. I think six guys need to follow you, fire you, because you have not
no,
set up
no.
yet. And the
no,
man asked the question.
Joe Biden got no problems, brother. Think about it.
He didn't hear the question.
This woman just got $83 million from your ass, man. And you ain't got the rest of your money from New York, man. She just took $83 million. She ain't even worth $83 million. Dude, think. And you can't get out of it. You're stuck. You got to give her $83 million, man. $83 million. Oh, my God. Oh, man. If you get away with me, I hate to say that, but boy, man. Woo. Donald Trump. Man, $83 million, man. Think about it, brother. Think about it. $83 million is gold. $3 million to go. Somebody's got $83 million. They didn't want a jackpot.
Let me tell you what $83 million is to me. Okay.
Hold on. You're a billionaire. You ain't gonna be a billionaire not too long now. Because you in New York. You and your defense team, man, they got to be laughing to the bank right now. That's why I said you got a losing crew. You better fire every last one of them. You got your show. You should be firing every last one. You should be talking.
Watch your words.
You tell them, Brother Willis.
You tell them, brother. You're fired. You know, brother. $83 million. You should be sick right now. I'll be taking your spot next week.
Hey, you didn't get fired about African American history.
I think you're trying to answer a question. Somebody asked him a specific question about African American history. I think that's why he's trying to answer it. You know how this goes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I know what you have to call. You're about to have some in common with black men because we all go to prison. So you're right. Go ahead and ask the question now. It does make sense now. Go ahead. Let me hear your question. I'm going to ask it.
So, Brother Job, finally he shuts the fleek up. All right. And I said fleek. I said fleek.
Mm-hmm.
New word.
What you got to say about this black history? That's what Brother Job want
to
know. Do it right.
So I think as a people, you all are phenomenal. You're all are strong, very smart. Very smart women and men.
Oh, that's not what you really
have
think.
Made several accomplishments have made this world a better place.
You trying to woo us up because you didn't lost $83 million. You know you got to come over here, right? You're trying to get in now while you're, hey, at least I give you some credit. At least you got a game plan. But I'm telling you what, your game plan ain't going to work because they're going to kick you away. They can sit with you, my Donald Trump. You're going to be down there with the Mexicans. So you're going to be down in your shithole. So you better start with some things because you're going to be down there because they waiting for you. They say, oh, yeah, we remember you, Trump. Yeah. The Migos are saying, they remember you. They waiting. They sitting back, man. They come, they waiting for you, Trump. So you better figure this out quick. You on your way out. You're going to probably go, oh, my God, I hate to say it. You might become president of America. You're going to be the brokest president we ever had in the history. Good God, just thinking about it. You're going to be broke. You're definitely going to be taking that
salary
back.
You all have done a beautiful job.
I think you will be taking that salary.
You know what,
Jack,
call in next week, 424-349-6177. That's the first question I'll answer. Thank you.
You will.
He will get up.
You might come on that, you ain't going to say, but you're going to take that one. Because you're going to be broke, brother. Because I just did. Don't let that Debbie girl or whatever get on that. Oh, don't let her get on NBC or ABC and start talking. And you go on your social media and you start running your mouth again. You're going to be in reverse. She's going to have that leather thing. You're going to have her salary, probably, what, $200 a week? Oh, boy. You're going to be bad. She's going to have your money and you're going to have hers. I hate to see that, boy. You $200, man? Oh, God.
I don't even watch news no more.
You definitely going to need to hit Stormy up. I'm telling you that right now. You going to need to hit Stormy. And I got bad news, man. Breaking news. Melania's asking for divorce. So, what is she asking?
Never loved
you. They're going to leave you dry, bro. I can see why you asked that African American question now. Oh yeah, I see it now. Brother, boy, you better I feel Donald Trump, man, I don't know what to say, bro. The more I think about it, my head's about to blow up because it's a situation.
Everybody on the side, I'm doing it right now.
He is right now. Cause that's the stuff that we go through. He's about to be black for real.
Whoa.
She leaves with her $50 that she came with.
You're
going to
leave
America.
Now I can see why all my black rappers and all of them want to vote for you now because they see that you're going to be part of us.
That's it.
Hey, you becoming one of us. Give me the five, man. So I'm going to see you get some cornrows. You're going to go buy Bill Cosby. You're going to get cornrows in your hair. You know, Bill Cosby's the cornrows now. You know, he hooked you up, man. And, you know, Snoop Dogg and all of them, they hooked you all up with that man, bro. They all, you're in the family in a minute. You better figure out quick. You about to be in the family in a minute, bro. You about to be real in the family. You about to be gang, gang, gang for real.
Well, Brother John, maybe that helps bring you some insight. Maybe that's what he's supporting for Black History Month or the Washington
salon. What's going to happen, John? What's going to happen is that'll be the first question that I answer when Trump calls in next week. That'll be the first question that's asked. What does he think about African American history? Because this dude, hopefully his battery ran down. Because
he's gonna answer. He's gonna, like he said, he's gonna try to answer the best because he coming with gang, gang, gang now, buddy. He coming down with us because he know he ain't coming. He know he can't keep his mouth. They just lawyers and they laughing. They said, "Don't worry, he gonna say something. It's gonna go up. What they gonna add another one in front of that? Woo, that's 180. Woo, that's gonna be another one. 200."
No, they can't do that.
Brother Lewis, we take it you're not
going to
contribute to his legal defense fund.
That's what was said. Yes, they said it's not over. Anytime you go back, because it's defamation, oh, yes, he can. So this woman is in, oh, boy. Now, think about it. Is this woman worth, oh, man, she worth a lot now, dog. If Donald Trump want to say he's a devil, that's the devil. If he want to say bad luck, that's the bad luck for him. He probably should have never wished he ever seen that woman. Oh, that's a bad, oh, it's a bad omen, man. Woo! Think about that, man. You guys really think about that. That's a bad omen, man. That's a bad omen. She just got awarded $65 million more for the foolery because of defamation. If he defamations her again,
The $65 million was for distress. For distress, she got $11 million. She got $11 million. $65 million. The $11 million, and then the other other what makes up the $83 million. Million.
Hey,
they just broke it down
I need to find me a woman to rape me or somebody to rape me, and I wait 26 years.
Get your girl on the line.
That's a winning. That's a winning combination now, bro. That's a winning combination. She winning on that. And she didn't get that. She got that from defamation, brother. Am I right? She getting that from defamation. And
well, I'm gonna call Shirley Hemphill for you.
Hmm. Yeah, call her.
Well, you still got a lot of numbers. A lot of folks got your number. Well, I tell you.
Yeah, Shirley Hemphill from What's Happening. I'm going to give her a call.
We need to talk. We got to talk about this one.
Go to the diner, get a burger.
Yeah, we went to that fast time. I used to love Rewind.
I'd rather they go to the Six Eyes Radio Network on Facebook and join the group. Thanks.
You know what? Talk about that. Talk about that, please. Thanks.
Well, we have lots of wonderful things happening on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Something for your learning enjoyment 7 days a week, not only on one station, but on our global station, Station 2. So, to learn more about it, feel free to join us on Facebook.
Lewis, shut the hell up.
At the Six Eyes Radio Network on Facebook.
This one, man.
Join us here later on today for the Six Eyes Gospel Show where you can get your praise on without leaving the house. Amen. 424-243-9617. The number we're on now is the number we'll be on in just a few hours more for church. You'll hear our very own Pastor Kenneth Bonnet and our First Lady Bonnet, and all of us will be there praising the Lord. Amen. You can catch us live or in Rewind. And bless you for listening. Now back to you,
Thank you.
I got something to say right quick, Six Eyes. Before we, I can't let Trump get away. Because we in a very bad situation. He ran out again. Let's talk about this one, y'all. Hold on. I can't let us get away with this before we get out of here.
Can you drive to a dead zone real quick?
No, I ain't going to dead zone now. But I got to say this one.
Damn, I wish we were.
We are about to be in a war now, y'all. We about to be in a war. We about to be in a war. We about to be in a war
right
now.
Yeah,
we about to be in a war really right now.
Well,
the war is going to be.
I hope not. But why do you say that, Brother Lewis?
Okay. The other day, yesterday, far as I know, I'm just getting more information on it. I was told in a live mm-hmm. today on a live today that Biden had to drop bombs on what happened was a drone at Iran. A drone went somewhere and they shot it down, and then they shot back at the place. And then our administration had to drop bombs somewhere, and they killed a whole bunch of innocent people in Iran. Iran saying that they want war with the United States. So we're already got soldiers over there. So if this is like they keep saying, the key, if this is fact, and if this is pursued to keep pursuing, we might end up having Congress say that we're going to war with Iran. If that happens, they're not coming here, but that's going to put a lot of stripes onto the Biden administration. And I will say this. This is probably what's going to end up happening. Biden's probably going to end up not losing the term, and he's going to end up when Trump might end up becoming president with the shenanigans that he got going on with him. Plus, he got the shenanigans going on with him with this folder that's missing with all our allies' information in it. And that's another problem that they're going to be taking his ass to court on. So it's like I say, he's got a lot. Trump got a long hill. But the reason why I'm saying that he might become president, because the fact of this happens, a lot of American people are not going to understand the political field, and they're going to vote for their pockets and what they're suffering in their communities about. So they're going to probably push him in there. But again, you pushing him in, and this is what I explained to you. Yes, he can be president and be on the way, be locked up. He can be president. Even with a circus going around with all the drama and the problems he's having. So, again, who does that benefit? It definitely don't benefit the American people, but the administrations itself, the Republicans, Democrats, can come up with injunctions to do run the country, even with his ass being president, where they don't even have to include him on any of the things they do. That is true. They can legally do that. You know, Congressmen, they can actually run this White House with him just being there with the circus going around him. So I would like if you can look that up, because I did talk to a couple people. We talked about that in the live, and that can be done. It's not a thing. So, again, if this is going on, I'm not saying this is probably, but we're close to get. If this is submitting, and we're going to submit to Congress and do say we're going to war, we'll definitely see a big problem. This is going to be just like Trump had his COVID. This will be Biden's COVID. Because I don't think Biden can really get the American people to really support an idea if we have to start. Because we already got troops there, and to send more troops over there and put feet on the ground, that's going to not be a good thing at all. At all. What you think about that, Six Eyes?
Well, first of all, I want to thank God for allowing that coffee to wear down on you. You're coming back to Lewis again. We had about 20 different Lewis's about 9 minutes ago. So thank you for that. The thing with this war, we ain't even got over the situation in Israel. So it's just too much going on. It's just an unrest time, and we just have to stay prayed up and pray for society. That's all we can do. And have God come the ills of the world. That's all we can do.
Well, there was one more question that was answered. Me and
you
asked,
you know what? With that, I'm complete. God bless. I love y'all.
Y'all
take
good night, everyone. Good night, everyone. Love you all.
Good night.
Love you.
Good night. We're all getting out of here now. You either ran everybody away. We're getting out of here. God bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in. More discussion and conversation here on the Six Eyes Radio. God bless everybody. Thanks for listening. Safe travels, Lewis. Catch you later. God bless. Safe ride home. And everybody be safe. Good night, America.
See y'all on the Gospel Show tomorrow morning.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
we're
out. You'll be opening up. Brother Ja, take care. God bless everybody. Take care. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. Just enjoy the 6 Hours Radio Network. Good night, America.